Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 37th episode of the Elite Japan WrestleCast, a podcast that is going through some changes, but we will typically still always be covering some UFC, some WWE, some AEW, and a pay-per-view every month. I'm your host, as always, Nick C, and before I do the rest of the intros, I'm going to address the fact that we've been off for 3 months, so we have been doing this podcast for, someone correct me if I'm
wrong, 6 years.
Coming up on seven?
Yeah, I think seven will be in February.
And we had never taken time off. In October, my mother passed away very suddenly, and so October became impossible to make work. November then also became pretty challenging because of other personal things that were going on in our lives. And December, we were deciding whether or not we were going to just hang it up or keep going. We decided to keep going. We're going to make some adjustments. Most of those adjustments won't really come into play until the pod after our next pod. This one's going to be a bit wishy-washy. That's just because of the slapdash nature of it to some degree, but we're still going to be covering a lot of the same shit we always do. Again, I was your host as always, next to me, and across from me as always is...
This is Dave Hatchett. This is episode 85 of the renamed Progresso Ichiban podcast. Yeah, that's... I've renamed Lucha Japan.
I like it.
Because I'm the only one that keeps it alive.
It's true. Also, that makes more sense as a title than Lucha Japan ever did.
Hey, it was the best name ever.
I mean, you created the word, so of course you liked it.
Lucha Japan.
And that was...
Ted Me.
Ted Me? No, it's Me Ted, not Ted Me.
I mean, everything changes forever, but it's
Meathead.
Don't have my meat steak
on. No, no meathead today. Probably meathead next time, we'll see.
Sad Ted.
He's the beer-fed meathead.
You like Skip Sheffield?
Yes. I like Ryback.
You like Ryback, do you?
He's coming back!
Is he?
Yeah, I read the news. He's coming back.
What, NWA? Because that would actually make sense to me right now.
What was it? Something happened that led to him coming back.
I had not heard of it. Please feel free to look it up as I intro the news. News. So one of the things that's going to change in the news segment going forward, and we're kind of doing it today, is we're just going to be covering 3 to 5 major news headlines rather than the bunch of fucking news stories that, like, no one gave a shit about typically. We'll still talk about deaths, too, if I see them. Like, for instance, this one. We missed a big one the past 3 months. Antonio Inoki died.
Well, yeah, we just were unluckily... He died when we were off.
Right, yeah. Tragic, obviously sad. He had had health problems in the past year. It's not shocking at his age. The dude who changed the landscape of Japanese pro wrestling for the better, debatably. If not for his rivalry with Baba, I don't know if we would have had a New Japan.
Right.
I don't know what the Japanese wrestling landscape would look like if him and Baba hadn't both been stars and both been pushed differently than one another by shows. What'd you find?
Yeah, he had a Twitter post that said he's coming back because WWE gave up on the Ryback trademark.
So the reason he hadn't done anything this whole time is because he couldn't have the word Ryback?
Probably.
I only want to be Ryback.
Well, okay then. Good luck with that.
He's been battling them for 2 fucking years.
Why would they care? It isn't as though they're going to use that at any other point. Right. Alright, well, there's some more news, I guess. Ryback's coming back.
Huge news.
Inoki was part of the JWA before. That was the first Japanese wrestling promotion. When it split off because of its founders, I don't remember if he died or if he got into some kind of debt, but...
Who?
Whoever, I can't. Was it Chozy that owned JWA?
Ricky Dozen.
Dozen, that's it. I always confuse those two.
And he was killed by the mob.
Yeah, that led to Baba starting...
With a pea-soaked knife. Yeah, it infects you.
I'm aware. That's a weird way. All right.
Yeah.
I guess guns. Not really a thing over there. That makes sense.
Stabbing? Oh, yeah.
Piss and knives? Yeah, we got those. Yeah, so after he died, Baba went and started All Japan. Inoki started New Japan. And up until the mid-ish 2000s, Inoki was the owner and runner of New Japan. And then he sold to Yuke's, I want to say. Which seems like a weird choice, but they were making games for them for a while, and it made sense. They were making the wrestling game people.
That's crazy.
Who owns New Japan? What's their name?
The ones now? Bushi Road.
Oh, it is Bushi Road. Yeah. Okay.
Right before, between Ukes and Bushi Road? Can't tell you.
There was one in between?
There, I believe there was one in between, yeah. That's but great. I cannot tell you who that was.
Yeah.
That's why the tape libraries end up so fucked up.
Bubs, I wish we could do a pod that's just one pod, an offshoot, that's cluing you in on all this Japan history. Like, we're just going to go over all the Japanese wrestling history that we've learned from a WAG and what he knows and what I've learned.
Can we get Chris Charlton to have, like, a guest?
I fucking wish.
Hey, if we paid him, maybe.
He's a pretty busy boy between his actual day job in New Japan.
You just need to give us, like, 10 minutes of your time. Like, 5 minutes will be interview. The rest you can do what you want. We just want to...
You know what? I might look into that. I might see if
Charlton,
I can...
Charlton, please. You're like our hero.
If we can get him to agree, maybe we do like a decade-by-decade breakdown. Each pod, we do one decade. And if we get him to do basically what it would be, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. We don't really need the 2010s because we experienced a lot of that ourselves. If we get him to do for like 4 pods, then maybe we do it. And then maybe we do some of the other ones. But this is all hypothetical.
I love this idea. But, it would be great if we get Charlton and we tell him he's way better than the guy he replaced. What the hell was that guy's name?
Django?
Janko? Oh, that was, Janko. Yeah, that was him for like those 2 events where
he wasn't talking enough.
Yeah. I mean, one, he didn't do commentary, which in fairness, when Charlton was brought on, he wasn't brought on to do commentary, he was brought on just to translate.
Kevin Kelly liked him.
He had so many tidbits that, like, why not just have him on the whole time and just interact, he was sitting
next to Kevin Kelly, and I think Kevin Kelly was like, well, you're here anyway, so you know the history and you're an English speaker, just join in.
Right, and then boom, he grew his own personality, loved Tai Chi's pants, and Kelly, his history.
And credit to Kelly. Kelly did a lot of work with him to help him get better about knowing when to jump in, when not. Like, he made him good at commentary. Which,
I only know of 3 announcer man crush on sport, on like athletes. There's Cal Rudman in the entire WWF roster.
It barely counts. Anything with a pulse and a dick, and he would have probably gotten behind him, but sure.
The other two...
Charlton, I'm guessing.
Charlton? Yeah. Charlton in Tai Chi's pants.
Yeah.
Chris Forsberg and Lob Williams. You don't get that?
Yeah, nope.
But Chris Forsberg would suck Lob Williams' dick.
It's literally the exact same as, like...
Tai Chi and Charlton?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because...
He's like, when he takes off the fucking, like, workout pants, he's like, It's happening!
Dude, that's Forsberg... Awesome.
And Forsberg is also as weird as Charlton.
Yes.
He's got the glasses and, the like, this weird kind of, like, look. Yeah, he's an odd
one. Based on what you did, an overbite?
More like... He talks to the side like this.
Oh, okay.
His mouth is permanently to the side.
Yeah. Like a JR almost.
Yeah, but he didn't have a stroke.
Except he didn't have Bull Bell's palsy. Yeah.
And he's been on the Lob Williams... Lob Williams actually has 2 nicknames. Lob Williams.
Is Lob Williams like a new player or an old player? I have no idea.
Rob Williams?
Who is
I think he may... Your last season may have been his first season. He's been around a couple of years.
Okay, he's a newer player.
He's a newer player, but he's really good.
He took a little bit of time to develop. He's a very shy guy.
But once he did, he blocked shots like a motherfucker.
Yeah, he's super
defensive. Like the super center.
Salts?
So good.
Yes, but he's injury prone.
Very. Mm. But you will appreciate, you will love him because of his second name.
What's his second name?
Time Lord.
Is he a big Doctor Who fan?
No.
He didn't even come up with it. He didn't even really like it at first.
But Mike Gorman, who is a Doctor Who fan, actually can explain why he is a Time Lord.
Because with his blocks, he can affect time. Oh, okay. I thought he was mastering his minutes and getting the most out of every minute.
That too.
He gets crazy.
There are multiple reasons.
Like 15 minutes.
Okay, gotcha.
That's true. I don't know if a doctor can actually slow time.
No.
They can only go in between times.
I mean, you can go to one point and then go to another, and that's all it's worth, but...
He's like a doctor.
If we ever do the Doctor Who thing we discussed, you won't have to ask questions like that again.
What, which one was that?
That was where you were like, I'd like to do one doctor story a month.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to happen with Rob.
All right. Moving on to our major news stories. This is going to span the past few months a little bit. I'll start with the oldest, which was William Regal leaving AEW. Does anyone need to have the timeline explained for how that happened and whatnot? Or...
Who shot him in the what now?
Regal.
Regal, leaving?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
lots of shit happened.
TK, I'll do a brief one. TK, back, ironically, when my mother had her trouble, his mother also had trouble, too, and almost passed away.
TK?
Luckily, yeah.
Regal.
Yeah, so this will relate to Regal, as I'm getting there. TK's mom had a stroke. Doctors could not figure out what caused it. She was doing real bad for a while. They sent her home. I believe she had a second stroke, and they were like, okay, we need to figure this out. They figured it out. It required surgery. She had surgery. As far as I know, she's doing fine now. But it was real touch and go there for a while. Right. That's why, like, you might have saw, like, Dynamites leading up to the pay-per-view were shaky, kind of.
I mean, a lot of shit was going on.
A lot of shit. But specifically for TK, his attention was very much elsewhere. He was spending a lot of time at the hospital and by her bedside at home when she was there.
Well, yeah, Shad's got shit to do.
During that time, Regal contacted, apparently asked whoever the HR department is or whatever, if he could talk to TK, because he wanted to get released early. He eventually had a conversation with TK when TK's mom was doing badly, and he's like, look, I know the situation you're in. I want to go spend the rest of my time in wrestling with my son. He's in WWE right now. I'd like to ask you for a release. His contract was technically going to be coming up in a few months anyways, but though AEW had an option to renew if they wanted. And he was just like, look, could you just release me now? Like, just don't pick me up on the option. Just let me go. We can write me off TV. And TK thought about it, and he agreed to do it. Like, he's like, in the situation TK was in that moment, he's like, I understand right. A parent wanting to be with their child.
Yeah.
You approach him about any kind of family shit, and he's going to be like, yes.
Yeah.
I understand.
Some people think that Regal might have manipulated the situation there, considering the timing, but no one's going to know except for him, so... he got granted his release. They had him under contract until... They had him basically stay under contract until the end of December, and I believe he's been fully released as of January 1st. He's back with WWE. He now is in some prominent position. I don't know his exact title. But he's not going to be... As far as I've heard, part of the condition of his release was him to sign an agreement.
Can't be on TV.
Yeah, not an on-screen character.
For a year.
Or I think it's till when... Yeah, it'd be a year. It basically would be until the original contract would have been up if they had renewed it. So, he won't be able to be on TV. So he's in some backstage role. It's a prominent role. We'll see if that stays based on our next news story.
Oh, no.
Is that a no-no to what I said or a no-no to something you saw?
It's a no-no to old man shouting, old man coming back.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second, but do you guys have any thoughts
on... He's not old man shouting in clouds, he's just old crazy man.
I mean, he's still shouting at clouds.
Oh.
Unfortunately, he can also make people do what he wants to. He's doing both.
He's fucking crazy.
You have any thoughts on Regal leaving AEW, how he left?
It was a super short stint. It was cool when he was there.
Yeah.
I like how they wrote him off.
It would have been nice to have him longer, but...
I mean...
You do what you gotta do. If you wanna be with your family...
They wrote him off.
Different company.
They wrote him off at the end of, like, November, early December, but They had him through the end of December, so my only question would have been, like, why not take your time a bit more with it, because they...
Nah, they saw the chance. They were ready to go, and they saw the chance when they turned him on MJF. They're like, MJF don't need a manager.
Yeah, I thought it felt a bit rushed. I could have used an extra week or two.
Rushed,
and, like, their way of then, like, explaining it didn't work for me either. The promo that he just happened to cut that they recorded but never showed, and then his explanation, and even Mox after the explanation was like, what? But...
Yeah, all of Blackpool Combat Club are just like, sad to see him go, but...
What are you going to do? Yeah. And when that's pretty much our reaction to...
Is Brian still part of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're still a thing.
Even though they fight each other all the fucking time.
I mean, they literally were brought together because they fought.
They like fighting.
They like fighting.
But they're probably not going to grow. Like, probably ain't going to do anything.
We'll see. I don't think there's any actual plans for them at this point, but we'll see.
Right. right?
We've had a lot of new groups since AEW joined. Well, obviously.
Yes.
In the past couple months.
Yes. We'll have a lot to talk about when we hit that AEW segment for sure.
And New Japan has some guys.
Some guys.
Yeah, like Akira, Italian name.
Francesco
Akira.
The new faction of some guys, which this is literally their name. Some guys.
Who are in some...
Kanemaru, Taichi, and Dookie.
Oh, I thought you just dubbed them.
No, they're literally some guys.
That's literally their name, because they couldn't come up with a name.
Yeah. Well, that checks out for those guys.
Those guys, some guys. All right. We're just guys.
We're the guys.
It's great.
So sad.
Is Dookie going to be their leader?
Meanwhile, ZSJ is... I mean, if fucking Minoru Suzuki knew what he was talking about, Dookie will be the leader if he's not immediately. He'll usurp whoever the fuck is in charge.
Minoru
Dookie. Why are you leaving Minoru? Because Dookie's going to kill me.
That's basically what he said. I mean, like, he was asked, like, why is now the time to fucking disband Suzuki-gun? And Suzuki's answer was just like, because I feared if we went much longer, Dookie would usurp me. And I'm like... What world, Minoru?
He bought into the bullshit.
Yes.
What world? The anime world, which he's a part of.
Yeah, sure.
So,
sure.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the next story, old man shouting at clouds. So,
not him.
Vince had...
Evil, okay. He's Montgomery Burns. Remember when I called that a couple of... Is he not Montgomery Burns now?
You asked me to make the meme, and I believe I did online back then.
It's still
like,
somewhere.
Convince me that I'm wrong. Prove me wrong or whatever.
Prove me that I'm wrong. Vince McMahon is becoming C. Montgomery Burns. And it's like...
So if you can't, if you've been living under a rock, and or you only get your news from us, which heaven forbid that's the case, please use the internet more wisely.
Vince, you know what I'm... Oh, my God, Nick.
Vince came back very recently, and it started with a, hey, he's coming back, but he's not gonna be on the board, he's not going to be doing anything, he's just coming back to help them sell. Then it became, okay, he's going to be on the board, he's going to be in a private position, but he's not actually going to be affecting the day-to-day operating operations. Now it's, he's making suggestions, and he's talking about going back on creative. Now, when I say all of this happened, this happened about past week, roughly, maybe a week and a half.
Yeah.
It's been a pretty quick turn. Also, he's being sued by someone in, I want to say, Georgia. One of the, I don't know if it's like, a, I think it must be one of the people who have stock. One of the stockholders.
Shareholders.
Yeah, shareholders. Because of, he's, what would it be called? I want to say stalking the board, but that's not... Fixing the board, you know, putting people on the board that very specifically are only there. Yeah.
Jury tampering.
I mean, it's not jury tampering, but it's.
If there's such a thing,
it's board tampering. It's. There's an actual term again. I can't think of what exactly.
Yeah,
it is,
I know.
But it's fixing the board to be in his favor.
Right.
Even though he has like overall voting rights power anyway, so kind of who cares? But.
Like Nixon. He was gonna win.
I assume that like there must be some votes where it doesn't come down to who has the most shares. It just comes down to majority voting. That's what I would assume. I guess. Right. I don't know. All
right. So first of all, if Vince McMahon came out and said he's gonna try to block the sun, I would not be shocked. I think we've reached that point.
I would just because I'd be like, how does it benefit Vince? I don't get it. And then if someone explained to me a way that it benefits Vince, I'd be like, all right, I checks out.
The thing is, no, well, yeah. The sun has, on the West Coast, makes people go out, you know, during the day when Raw is on. So if he shuts off the sun, they'll all watch Raw.
Okay, sure. I'll buy that.
Yeah! It's better than him blocking out the moon.
No, he's gonna buy the moon so we can have shows on.
I mean, if your argument,
okay, I like that one.
Your argument is he just gets rid of the sun so everyone stays indoors more and they have less to do, therefore they watch Raw. Yeah, all right. So yeah, he's back.
He's a nut job.
The reason for the board tampering thing is because he fired two board members and put in two that basically were just. I don't even remember who it was. It was George Berrios and someone else. We talked to. We literally did this story back when he fired them 6 months ago. How like much of a difference 6 months makes. He brought the two back that he fired ages ago because they disagreed with him, which is weird. Now they agree with him. And the two board members who ran the internal investigation into Vince quit that same day. So, like, four board members changed, basically, that day. Which, I don't know how many there are, but I'm guessing that was enough to push Vince over the edge on that.
So crazy.
So they were like, okay.
Also, Stephanie stepped down. That was like, that seemed like the least important thing in the entirety.
It was important thing, but it was the biggest newsworthy thing.
Initially.
Yeah, initially. And then everything started coming after it. But that's, like, what started on the news. And then,
yes. And then it steamrolled into a Saudi sale, which, again, we'll get to. But Stephanie didn't just... It's worth noting. Stephanie didn't just step down. It's like she stepped away. She left. She's done.
She's going to be a fan, if that. She probably won't even be a fan.
Yeah, I mean... She just said that. You say that, but she said she's a fan, going to be a fan. No, she's not.
Yeah, right? She's going to watch me like... Ugh.
I mean, we'll see. Well, how long does her husband get to be in charge for creative? As long as he's in charge, she's a fan.
Watching Impact. No, I don't want
to. No. No one does.
AEW.
I mean, I don't know. That 70-year-old jobber.
I don't know.
Jobber is making me want to tune in.
I don't know. Young man shouting at clouds did say he thought Triple H and Stephanie should go to AEW.
Oh, Rob?
Yeah, he's just young man. Shouts at clouds.
Well, Rob doesn't want that, right?
Rob wants that.
That is 100%. That's not only what he wants, that is his prediction that Triple H is going to, if he's like...
But doesn't he hate Triple H?
He's come around on Triple H. Because Triple H, because he's heard and seen what Triple H has done with NXT and then what he did with the main roster, he's like, you know what? Triple H is putting on a much better product for WWE than Vince McMahon does.
A monkey could.
This is true. Well, let's hope this is true, because it's one day we're not going to have Vince, and if it's a bunch of like random NBC execs running things, if the monkey theory is true, then they'll do fine.
Right.
But...
Oh, no, not never execs.
Now, I say that. So, out of all of this, we also got rumors of a Saudi sale. The more level-headed journalists online pointed out, like, look, a sale cannot happen that quickly. There's a lot of legal things you got to jump through to make it happen. But...
Somebody made it up.
Those rumors, it was either made up, or those rumors came about because there was a handshake deal. So it's not official on paper, but there's basically an agreement of, like, we want to buy it, and Vince is like, I will sell it to you. Now... If anyone outbids them, they will not have it. Because
that would never happen.
I mean, yeah, no, because the number being bantered about is like $8 plus billion for the company, which is way over the estimated
what it's
worth.
Why does Vince need that money? He's going to die soon.
Well, first of all, he doesn't get $8 billion. He only gets a paltry 3.8.
Oh, damn.
So, you know, I don't...
So that's why he's got to sell for as much as possible.
But also, no, because as it's funny because of what they're going to do if it sells, but for the stockholders, part of being on that board and part of, like, Vince's job is he has to do the best by them. That is a legal thing he has to do. And so if someone offers him more money to sell than anyone else, he has to take it.
That sucks.
In theory. So if NBC offers, let's say Saudi offers $8 billion and NBC counters with $9 billion. I don't know why the fuck they do that, but let's pretend.
NBC's like, we got money coming out of our ass that showed up out of nowhere. $9 billion.
If then Saudi offers 9.1, in theory, he might need to take that. Now, it sort of depends. I believe there are, like, when it's that close,
you could make an argument. Okay, what about ethics? Like,
yeah, I think at that point you can make an argument. But if,
business,
like,
ethics.
If NBC offers 5 and Saudi offers 8...
Right, that's too much. But the 9 and 9.1...
It's close enough where maybe you
can... What if the board votes to take it and... No, they can't override Vince, right?
See, that's a good question. Again, I assume the whole stalking the board thing means that there are some things that require a majority vote. Because otherwise, why would it matter? Because he has the majority voting shares, technically. And if it didn't matter the number of people, then, like, he doesn't need to stalk it. He just wins.
Right.
Maybe that's a situation where you have to have majority rule.
Remember, Bubs, ill-gotten money is still money.
Yes.
It is.
And that's the shitty thing.
If that Saudi deal goes through, a lot of interesting shit's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, Sami Zayn is no longer working with WWE.
He is asking for his release. He likely would get it. Here's the thing. A lot of wrestlers said they would leave if that happened. One, I don't believe
they
will.
Would they?
Yeah. I don't believe they all will. I think some will.
That's 100% we know.
The women's division will, because I'm pretty sure the Saudi Arabia people will just get rid of the women's division.
Yeah. I don't think they'll get rid of it. it's going to be strict as fuck. They won't get rid of it because they know it's got to be a part. Like,
I don't know. I don't know.
It's going to be full body suits. It's going to be 5-minute matches. That's it. No more.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe heavy.
And nobody. They'll leave after that, but they're still going
to
have
heavy restrictions. But here's the thing: if that were to happen, no woman would
choose to work there. To do that.
Somebody would.
Right, but there would still championship. Be
almost no women would choose to work there. The majority of the roster, women's roster, would be gone.
I'd be like, this is Dana Brooke's time to shine.
Natalia's staying. She fucking be there forever.
Here's something I
Lacey Evans.
She finally gets her spot.
I wondered if anyone would have to ask for their out at that point, because every time I've ever heard of a company being sold to some other company, it automatically sort of null and voids the previous contract. Right. You have to sign new contracts under the new administration.
Right. Yeah.
So if that's accurate for wrestling the way it is for other businesses, then it's possible we see mass exodus at that point, because no one has to ask for the release at that point. It's just like, are you going to sign a new contract? Nope. All right, moving on.
All right.
We'll see, though. That'd be interesting. You also then run into the, will any TV networks be willing to air it? Because a lot of people don't want to get in bed with Saudi Arabia. And it does then become a question of, where do moral and ethics come into play versus what they make you money-wise?
Right.
So, I don't know. But again, it's going to be fascinating to see.
Oh, yeah, this is...
Also... I brought this up to him earlier, but I saw someone make a very good point where it's like, most people thought NBC Universal would want to bid on this because they already spend $500 million a year to have Raw on.
Yeah.
So the idea would be, well, if we're going to spend like $3 billion over the next 5 years or whatever anyway, 6 years, why not just buy it? And the answer is because right now WWE makes all their money off of that television deal. And so if you then buy it, there's no money coming into that company. And you aren't going to sell to another network to put on your show because you're buying it for that purpose.
NBC can't buy it.
It wouldn't make any sense financially.
Well, someone's got to buy it.
So crazy. Disney?
Yeah, right? Disney's the highest.
The mouse.
I saw the UFC owner. I don't know what they're called. Zuffa? No. It's...
There's a new one. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the something group.
The something group.
They're supposed to Endeavor. The Endeavor Group. They're supposed to be possibly interested too.
I would like that over the mouse.
I would too. I think Dana.
Even though there are advantages of the mouse, like a WWE level in Kingdom Hearts.
I know people wanted that just for that.
It's like, this is just two worlds.
You broke my brain just because I never would have imagined that. And now I'm just like, would that happen? And it's like, it might.
WrestleMania, the level.
Natalya is a Disney princess.
We are
not anyone else. Like,
yeah.
I had to pick the one that's been there forever and might still be after any kind of deal.
Tamina.
Yeah, I feel like Disney would make better choices than WWE in that regard.
Oh my god. So yeah, that's great. But besides that, I don't want the mouse. I mean, I already get Disney Plus, I guess that's cool, but
I'd root for... I mean, see, the thing that I would imagine stops Disney is that Peacock deal is still in place for X amount of years, which means they wouldn't get that content for a few years. Also, though, Disney doesn't need the money back immediately, so they could just buy it and be like, we'll be fine.
But if Endeavor buys it, they were going to try to keep the NBC deal as long as possible.
Yes.
Which is good for...
Also, they have already had a they've already had a relationship with Fox, right? So, I mean, the SmackDown deal stays in play at that point, too. So Endeavor actually wouldn't be a terrible fit. Also, Dana would fit right in trying to work with WWE there. Also, Dana White is... I mean, this is whatever, this is me fantasy booking, but Dana White is very good friends with Tony Khan. You could see crossovers you never would have imagined.
Do you really think they put Dana White in charge?
I would. He makes least initially.
Yeah, I don't
he's
think...
He's trying to push Power Slap right now. He can't do WWE.
I can't fathom they didn't cancel that show.
They didn't even start... just started a week ago, Nick.
Yeah, after the incident where he slapped his wife, you would think they'd cancel that show.
They got him all hyped up. Nope.
No, I heard that show is all but dead on paper, though. They've clearly started it. My guess is, unless it does
it's
extremely
power
good,
slap,
like, it was never going to do well.
Something I used to watch in the hub for free. And they brought it to television. Face Punch was a game.
Oh, yeah, when you said in the hub for free, I'm like, this is something that's been on TV for ages? I'm like, oh,
no. Yeah, I literally saw it live.
Dumbass friends.
Two men hitting each other in the face. And now it's on TV!
Yeah.
It's but more safer.
Something, is it?
They got baby powder.
It's all open hand. They got catchers. They got everything.
Catchers?
Yeah, they catch the guy when he gets knocked out so he doesn't hit his
when he gets knocked out.
Wow. Forrest Griffin is the official catcher of Power Slam.
I love that.
That guy always knows how to get a paycheck.
Well, okay then. So you're rooting for Endeavor to get the company ultimately? I mean, would you...
If those are the bidders, yes.
Would you basically
root for family.
Anyone over Saito?
God damn it.
The Khan family is also in the mix.
We don't need... Dude, if they do that, I am starting a monopoly lawsuit.
I mean, why? If WWE bought AEW, no one would do that at this point. Like,
yeah.
There's still other wrestling companies out there. TK and his father have been supposedly in the mix, but it's like they're
just
not
because they have the money. Like, I don't think
they don't. They don't have that much. I mean, it depends. For WWE, for the like, let's say general, what the company is valued at, they could probably get those funds. But because the general value is about $4 billion, and the Khan family is worth 11. So I mean, I don't know what they are liquid, but I mean liquidity. I bet they could find to $4 billion if they needed to.
Right. But is it worth the gamble? Fuck no.
But my understanding is it's going to go well above that value. And again, TK's dad is worth $11 billion. And again, that's not liquidity. That's what he's worth. Right. So, I mean...
Add everything up.
Yeah, if you add everything up, that's what it's worth. And so I'm like, I don't know that he could get six plus. It depends, though. He could always work with someone else. Right. They could share co-ownership or something. But, yeah. I don't take it seriously. I think it'd be funny if TK won it. I think it'd be amazing. I would find a way to do a simul. I'd do the WCW simulcast all over again. Raw and AEW. You have AEW on a Monday for 1 week. You do the simulcast. You have Jeff Jarrett fucking go over there and fire Vince on TV just for a little fun comeuppance.
Are they gonna merge? Is that your plan?
No, I'd still have them separate. I'd have them separate, but I'd have
but
them.
They cross over.
They do crossovers. Yeah.
All right, I like that.
That's what I do. And I'd turn NXT into ROH. Because that just makes sense at this point to me. They were just grabbing a lot of ROH guys anyways.
And
NXT has already got a show, and it does terrible ratings anyway. So, like, that network's not going to be like, no, don't put other guys who might raise the ratings for us. Please, no.
Right.
But again, this is, like, the most fantasy of fantasy booking that's ever going to happen.
What happened? Oh, man. That's...
We'll see, though. We're going to find out probably in the next 6 months, because the idea is by the end of summer, it will be sold to somebody.
I mean, really, like, I just want any scenario that's going to continue the we can have crossovers. Because then, like, the Shinsuke thing was awesome, and we need more of that. So as long as it's not the same, like, Vince blocking that from happening, it should be good.
I mean, here's the thing. Vince is pretty much in charge again. When he is in charge again, that shit's not going to happen anymore.
Which sucks.
And if they sell to Saudi, there is a good chance that part of that deal is going to be Vince saying, you have to keep me in charge until I want to leave.
Yeah.
They're not all great, the crossovers.
What's a bad one?
Carl Anderson?
That's not bad.
I mean,
boring.
That was the worst match on that card, if we're being honest.
Well, but, I mean, what do you call the card?
We'll have to...
The 3-minute exhibition match.
I don't count the pre-show.
And I don't know, I think that was better than the Inoki tribute match.
It was the Inoki tribute match, Shibata versus... You want to say Shibata? Young Shibata versus Ren Narita versus ZSJ?
No.
That was the
six-man tag with Fujinami.
Oh, you're again, that's pre-show.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
That's listed as pre-show.
You didn't take notes on it, remember?
No. I'm talking about the other one.
What's the other one?
The one with Shota.
Oh, yeah. That's not the tribute.
That was better. That was better than that fucking Carl Anderson.
I thought that was the tribute. I thought the other one...
The tribute was Minoru Suzuki. The old guys. Fucking... what's his name? Blue Justice.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, that match purely existed to get the belt off of him. That's it.
And now we got Tonga Loa, Hikuleo, and Jado in their own.
And like two out of those three might be WWE bound. Though, with the sale coming, who knows if they're going to hire anybody at this point. But
I do love it, though, that Jado will always be with. He's like, I have to stay with them. That's like my commitment that I sent to the family. That's how it's going to go.
Sure. Why not? Again,
they get Master Heater.
Until they leave, if they leave.
That'd be great. He goes with.
That'd be funny.
As he's included in the deal.
No, they're like, we want Tangaloa and we want Jado.
I was just thinking to myself, like, why don't they want... Well, it's weird they only want two out of the three. And I'm like, oh, they had the third one.
They had the third one. He was fucking Camacho.
It didn't go well. I can see why they wouldn't want him again.
He was a Mexican. Who was his... Oh, God.
Who would they pair him with?
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's enough talking about that. Let's jump on over to the last story, which is FTR related.
It's also
kind of related to Regal. All these connect in different ways. So Regal had a podcast going before he left for WWE. When he went back to WWE, he couldn't do a podcast anymore. So someone needed to take his place. Dax of FTR took his place, and now he's got a podcast.
The FTR podcast.
Yeah, it's literally called the FTR podcast, too, except for it stands for something different than the tag team name.
We know FTR can stand for anything.
It stands for Family, Tequila, and Wrestling.
Hey, wow. That's... fits them very well.
Yes.
Fits Dax. I know he loves his tequila.
So the most recent episode, he got permission from TK and a bunch of other people to talk about FTR's current situation. Because everyone's noticed that they've been dropping a lot of titles recently, and there was questions about what the fuck's going on with them. The answer is pretty simple. They're about to... They have, I think, one more match lined up. Am I wrong? Maybe they just did their final match. I don't know. I want to say there's one more match lined up, and then they are taking time off until the end of their contracts. Their contracts end in April, and between now and then, they are going to decide what they're doing next. They know whatever they do next is going to be the last thing they do of their careers, and so they want to decide where they're going to spend the next 5 years. Obviously, with Vince going back to WWE, there is more of a question mark there as to whether or not they could go back. He brought that up. He's like... His co-host had simply asked, like, does Vince going back affect your decision to possibly go there? And he's like, I can't say it doesn't. And so, they're going to be radio silent for he won't be. He has a podcast now. But we won't see them on TV for a while.
Right.
Until they make a decision. So, that's what's happening there. Any opinion on that whatsoever?
I liked their title run. It was good for them. And now we'll see where they go.
Yeah, this past year was probably the highlight of their careers, kind of.
They had the Triple Crown. We haven't seen a Triple Crown since Kenny.
The only titles they didn't hold of real merit was the AEW tag titles. And,
that didn't matter to them at that time.
Yeah, it didn't matter at that point.
They were selling out indie shows. They were drinking whatever tequila they wanted.
Dax was allowed to have amazing tag matches and singles matches throughout the year. But their careers are coming winding down, and so we'll see. They might sign with AEW again. The problem is AEW is so overcrowded, and that's why I imagine they're thinking where else to go.
Right, exactly. Because you could see, like, they didn't hold the AEW tag titles during that
No.
round. They weren't really a part... I mean, they were having matches, but they were more important to ROH than AEW.
And he said, like, he didn't want to go super into it. He said once he's done with AEW, like, once the contract's up, you know, even if, like, he basically wants the contract's up, there's no guarantee they're going to sign anywhere immediately. And he's like, once it's up, he'll talk about everything that's happened throughout his AEW run. But he's just like, look, there's been really good stuff, there's been bad stuff, there's been stuff that I disagreed on, but ultimately ended up okay. It's a lot to talk about for him.
Right.
It's been mixed for them in AEW. And if he goes forward another 5 years, 3 to 5 years, it's probably going to be a mixed bag again. And he knows that.
Oh, yeah. You can't think it's all sunshine and rainbows because it's another wrestling company.
Could be. No, you never
this
know.
This is not how that goes.
Depends.
Like, I want to hear Andrade's story. How's that going to go? Because he says he's got some shit.
If WWE hired... Yeah, he does.
I can't understand. No, forget it.
If WWE were to hire FTR and pay them a buttload of money with no cut contracts, you know you're going to get used better there than AEW. But otherwise, you have no idea. Anywhere right. could end up being the same thing. Andrade looks to be done. I didn't bring it into the news because I have heard no official right. word on it.
Just him on Twitter saying, I got shit.
On Twitter, yeah, he was like, it's been a good run or something, and him hanging up the mask. Yeah. So my assumption is...
And when everything is all said and done, I'll tell my story.
Yeah. Don't know what any of that necessarily means. We'll see. His run with AEW has been shaky. Right. Would I say as shaky as WWE? Not really. In some ways, WWE was a mix of some good, some bad. AEW, I'd say what he did was good. It just wasn't a lot.
And I think, like, at the end, like, LFI was promising, and it's not the same.
Fuck is LFI?
Ingobernables.
The LIJ thing, yeah.
Yes.
That could have been good. Promising. That could have been good, yeah.
Now they don't really have a leader, like.
Roosh!
Yeah, but he's not really a leader.
Jose the assistant.
That's
definitely not a leader.
Luther!
Okay, sure.
Yeah! And Serpentico, the man who has the most losses in AEW history.
Very enthused, they had 100 losses. Yeah, so FDR, we're going to be done with AEW for the foreseeable future, let's say, at least for now.
I'm really done with wrestling for now.
Yeah, for now, for the next few months.
And yeah, they may not be back to AEW.
They might not. That might be the last time we ever see them at AEW. It might not be. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Who knows?
That's it for news.
Alright.
Moving on over to WWE Survivor Series.
Yeah, we can do that.
We can do that. I mean, either
that,
AEW, or New Japan.
Or UFC, where I just preview the cards this weekend.
Let's do WWE.
Huh?
Let's do WWE, and then we can bumper wrestling.
Alright, here we go, WWE. Ladies and gentlemen, the card we are covering tonight is Survivor Series.
It's kind of old, so their memories might not be the best.
But they haven't had a legit preview since then anyway, so it's not that old.
Yeah, well.
That's why we can't cover anything else.
More than a month.
Yes. But hey, we got Rumble coming up.
Yes, we do. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Looks good.
That's
real. Oh my god, attendance 15609 disputed.
It's always disputed.
Yeah, that's well because the WWE just inflates their numbers. I heard Wrestle Kingdom actually did really well this year. I did not see a number. Paid?
Yeah.
That is pretty good for them. It's a little higher than usual.
Hey, after COVID, I think that's great.
They likely then put, like, usually when they're around that range, they put 40 plus thousand in there. A lot of comps, but that's...
Japan took COVID a lot more seriously than we did.
They did.
They still do.
A little less so now, because they're allowing people to make noise, so there's loosening.
Imagine if we told Americans you can't make noise.
They'd be like, fuck you, and they'd say it as loudly as possible.
Exactly. Japanese fans would never do that.
No. Well... For the most part.
If they were like, y'all suck! Okay, we know.
Sorry.
The Canadians of Asia.
Oh, you know what proves that? Jay White.
He loves fucking.
Did you notice how much Jay... He fucked with the crowd more than he wrestled.
That's Jay White a lot. Yeah. But yeah, he did.
But he's he loves trying to get the...
Oh, I mean, that's a story I didn't bring up in the news. So like, I don't know, but his contract's coming up and he's supposedly going somewhere else.
Yeah. I've heard
stateside.
I've heard a definite stateside.
Double.
Probably, though, with Vince now in charge, that might not be on the table anymore.
What was it? There was somebody that listed a bunch of names he was going to have if he came to. And one of them was like Kiwi something. I'm like, oh my god.
I could buy that.
Kiwi Steve. Isn't that just the name of a move?
Kiwi Steve would be amazing.
Kiwi Steve.
So like, I'm back Jack.
How's it going? I'm hearing double doubles.
What's the difference between you and Outback Jack? Oh, fuck you, mate. Whenever I think of New Zealanders, I just think of Taika Waititi.
That's what
I was going to say. You just sound like Korg. Yeah.
It's literally...
Korg Simon WWE.
Pretty much is what they all sound like.
Oh, I love Korg.
So, Survivor Series was in Boston. Shane won.
Nice.
Shane, Dane.
I think I would know a lot of events.
Shane, Dane, Gusty, Corey.
He was at the Bruins Christmas game, too.
No, Celtics.
Celtics game, that's... Sports, different sports.
He didn't go to the Winter Classic, I'm surprised.
Too cold.
I want to go to that. If I had been around, I might have tried to go to that.
Alright. The first match, because we don't have pre-show match. I refuse to watch that pre-show.
Pre-show doesn't have matches.
Exactly.
That's all I'm talking.
That's why I refuse to watch it.
You hate Kevin Patrick.
Is he the bald one?
No, he's the
Irish. He's the Irish one.
Irish douchebag.
I have so many rotating people in that fucking cast. They keep adding.
Who's the... Oh, Rosenberg.
They had Denise get added recently. Y'all don't watch the pre-show, right? So you wouldn't even know. Right?
Who?
Denise. You remember the GCW Battle Royale? What's his face? Sean Ross Sapp came out and...
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he got eliminated by some girl. The girl was Denise... Whatever her last name is, that kind of thing.
And now she's
with WWE as one of those like people who talk on the pre-show.
Oh my god!
I mean, she works with Sean Ross Sapp, and she's one of those famous reporter people in wrestling. So
why not? Yeah. She probably replaced Sam Roberts. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, maybe. I know
Rosenberg's been there.
I haven't heard about him in a long time. The
Sam Roberts. Sam Roberts. Yeah. So the first match, we start off with a War Games match. Mm. I'm going to preface this with, I thought it should have been one Survivor Series, one War Games, but I don't make decisions.
To me, there isn't much difference. A War Games is just a gimmick Survivor Series match, basically.
There's eliminations. There's more
It's intrigue. A 5-on-5. It's the same basic... Yeah, it's 5-on-5 people in a cage versus not in a cage.
So you don't have cage moves in
It's a gimmick Survivor Series. It's a gimmick Survivor Series.
But it's still different.
There's tags in Survivor Series.
It's not different because it's a gimmick. Like, it's different.
To me, it's no different than being like a tag team steel cage match versus a normal tag team match. Like, yeah, there's no tags. It's everyone in the ring at one time. They're facing off. Like,
yeah, different.
It's so different.
But it's conceptually basically the same. It's just
all of wrestling is the same.
You're right. Which is why that argument works.
So, Team Belair. Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Mia Yim, and Becky Lynch. Versus Damage Katarl, Bayley, Dakota Kai, Io Sky, Nikki, the person formerly known as Nikki Ash, back to Nikki Cross. And I actually have a name for the next person. Dom's Dom.
Oh, it took me a second, but all right, I got you.
Rhea Ripley, because that's literally
what she is.
Yeah, she's Dom's Dom.
Yeah. Dom went to jail over the holidays.
Really?
Did you see that? Yeah.
No. Jail?
No.
No. Well, I mean, he's selling it as jail.
Yeah. It's just to toughen him up.
Yeah.
He's now Poppy.
He was there for 3 hours. He's got a teardrop tattoo now, and he learned some things.
Yeah.
So, the scene from New Guy?
Yes.
Yeah, basically.
And it's hilarious.
Crazy ass.
It's one of my favorite fucking things. Like, Dominic Mysterio has been in one of the best angles of the past few months.
I mean, they made him interesting because he wasn't before.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah. Yeah, but they didn't just make him interesting, they made him really funny. They actually kind of turned that group into sort of a comedy group, too, because of it, but...
They'd only learn funny is the way they should go.
That was... Most things. I mean, Triple H did, I think, learn that.
Gets it. Like, look what Brock Lesnar did. He went funny. He's fucking awesome.
Yeah. People like him more.
Like, flying wheelchair Zach... That Lesnar exists now.
Nobody remembers that except for us.
I know.
Someone does.
So, War Games. It went 40 minutes because that's what they all go pretty much.
They're long.
I thought this one had better action. The other one had better storytelling.
That makes sense.
This one had like no storytelling. It was just Team Random versus...
People thrown in a match.
Evil Team.
Yeah.
Evil Team.
I also don't the interval thing, I don't know. The way they all just stand in a cage. Butch. Oh man. I was looking to see if they had when they came out. They don't.
So who won?
That would be Team Face.
Great.
Bailey lost. Karen Bailey is pretty cool, though. She really shifted her character. I
like Karen Bailey as well.
Nikki Cross is still nuts, and Rhea Ripley might be the best she's ever been.
I'll say this, though. Bayley was way more Karen-ish pre her getting injured than she has been post.
Oh, she was crazy, Karen. Shut up, Michael Cole!
She wore the glasses. She had the hair. She was very angry all the time. A little less aggro now. Though she still hates Cole. She still fucks with him.
I find that... So I love... What the fuck was Don Callis wearing?
The ugliest suit and shoes possible, because that's the gimmick. Because that's the elite. They're tasteless, classless assholes.
That's great. I'm like, that has to be intentional.
I don't think Kenny fits in that. He's got his own style.
In his house, he had a giant velvet painting of him and Don Callis shirtless hung above his fireplace. Yes, he is tasteless and classless.
Hey, that is very classy.
Also, do you remember some of the suits he wore during his title run?
Possibly gay, too.
Also that. But that's just always a thing.
That painting, Nick, that painting sounds very gay.
Yeah, it was also great.
Why would he have that?
Why not?
I don't even remember what the feud was that made us see that, but I just know they were heels at the time.
So, next match, AJ Styles versus Finn Balor.
So he said he didn't. Davey didn't seem to remember anything about this match. I'm guessing John does not either.
It was 20 minutes. I'm guessing it was good. I mean, I don't see any way it could be
bad.
Yeah.
I mean, if they were given 2 minutes, it could have.
But
been
they were given 20.
But they were given 20.
Two of the best wrestlers in the company.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a fantastic.
Unfortunately, match. It's kind of forgettable just because. There was nothing special about it.
It was the match you were expecting to be good, and it was good. It probably
it
wasn't
was a good filler.
It probably wasn't like a 5-star or 6-star classic, but it was probably a solid 3.5
or 7-star. Nick got a 7-star today. Okay.
Or 7-star classic.
Fucking 7-star.
So that match we can't say much about, but AJ Styles won. He's part of the club with me and him. Finn Balor has his group. Then we have the Lone Wolf, Ronda Rousey. Oh, I guess she's got Shayna, but they're both. I mean, you can't be two lone wolves.
You can't be a lone wolf if you travel in a pack.
Right.
But I consider that a tag team, not a pack. I consider a pack.
And they're
you're
both
right. I would have said a pack as three as well, but. If you're traveling with a buddy, you ain't a lone wolf.
Who's a
so what if there was a team called the Lone Wolves? Are they not lone wolves?
They're just dumb in naming themselves.
I think we'd point that out to them.
You can't be the Lone Wolves!
It's like the Lone Rangers from fucking Airheads.
Oh my god, alright.
You can't be the Lone Rangers.
There's three of you.
Next up, the worst match on the card. Ronda Rousey with Shayna Baszler versus Shotzi.
This is the one that I saw the most about, just because of that DDT apron botch. Yeah, the DDT.
Yeah, they fucked up like three moves.
Shotzi doesn't end up being in good things.
Yeah, me and Dave talked about it. Like, look, she's got a great look and a great personality, but in ring, she's whatever at best.
When it comes to her in ring, she's kind of like a blind person. She needs someone to lead her.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to put it.
And
Ronda Rousey is not
having
the blind leading the blind.
No, having the pissed off and angry and doesn't give a fuck leading the blind.
The aggressive blind lady leading the other blind lady is not a good way to go.
Oh, Ronda, you made yourself so hateable. Maybe you're always hateable.
Well, she was. Yeah. Luckily, just ask Shane. Luckily. She's not champion anymore, so it doesn't matter. She didn't lose in this match, spoilers, but she does eventually. She loses a random smash
Charlotte.
Or something. Yeah.
Charlotte comes back. This is what she
course.
Wanted.
That's how it has to happen.
She's got to hit a number. She doesn't have to have a long or good title reign. She just has to have a lot of them.
All right, next. Should we say anything? No, that might suck. All right.
I mean, if it was on the card, say it.
Austin Theory. No, I'm talking about the last
one. Was there anything more to say about the match? No. It had problems. No one was expecting the match to be good.
The best I would say the best match on the card, because I don't really remember Finn Balor, was the triple threat, Austin Theory, Seth freaking Rollins, and Bobby Lashley. Two really good and one promising.
Yeah.
I can't call Austin Theory really good yet.
A lot of people say he is. A lot of people say he even was going all the way back to, like, I guess he was in NXT.
Yeah, he's always thought he was a star.
Yeah, I don't get it. But
back in Evolve, man, he was the star.
He was.
We saw him.
Yep. I guess. He looked too generic for me to remember.
I don't remember him at all.
I remember Meat Man more than anyone else.
Same.
He's memorable.
He stood out.
Meat Man and OC.
Right.
It's so funny that the majority of people who were memorable in that card are all AEW guys. Meanwhile, the guy who, like, Vince wanted to be the next Roman Reigns is like, I don't even know what he was there, I guess.
I remember JD Drake.
Yeah, right.
I don't remember being Austin Theory.
So sad.
JD Drake's memorable. I like him.
Yeah, all the people are memorable, and Austin Theory isn't at all. He's just a dude.
We saw Velveteen Dream before he imploded.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he's fucked.
Yeah. That didn't go well.
No. Alright, this triple threat was really good.
For a title?
Yes, the U.S. title.
Who won? Because it's not Rollins, right?
Austin Theory.
Yeah, okay.
It's his time.
Oh, that's right. Lashley did the double hurt lock.
Huh.
Yeah. You know what that is? Oh. Okay. He hurt locked two people at once.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. I got conceptually what it was. I just don't know what the hurt lock is.
Oh.
Isn't it just a master lock?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
It's a full Nelson.
How you even do a double full Nelson? That's weird.
You just have big enough, long enough arms to get both of them.
I guess, yeah.
And one guy's going to be a little further down so you can actually fit them.
It was cool.
A master.
I remember it.
That move will always be around. And special for some reason.
The ending was curb stomp, Rollins attempting a Falcon Arrow, and then lastly spearing Rollins and Theory falling into a pin.
So even him winning is like...
accident.
He got lucky, yeah.
Yeah, he got lucky. He's Honky Tonk Man right now.
All right.
Honky Tonk Man.
Nick loves Honky Tonk Man.
I love his music.
He's cool. He's cocky. He's bad.
Probably shitty wrestler.
Have you heard the other song?
Actually pretty good.
What the fuck's the name of the other song?
He's not a moves guy, but he like bumps and feeds really well, so he makes his opponents look really good.
Fucking Honky Honky Burning Love, or...
There is a Honky Honky Burning Love. Is that what the name of the other... I don't know what the name of his entrance is. Is that the name of the other song, then?
Yes. If you can say that's a name, I can say that's a song.
Yeah, he's got multiple Elvis parody songs, but yeah, I believe...
No, the one that went platinum.
Platinum.
Yes.
Did you get some platinum spray paint?
Is that the same one that he had when he was with Rhythm and
Greg Valentine.
Yeah. I hate that I know that now.
Greg Valentine had black hair?
Yep, Rhythm and Blues, yeah.
Rhythm and Blues. Oh, it was amazing.
Oh, it was something. It was fucking something.
It was better than 97.
I mean, that's a low bar. Everything is better than 97.
96?
Okay, everything is better than 95 to 97. Early TNA with the dicks is better. Because
remember,
than...
like, you watched WrestleMania 3 and you were like, yeah, it wasn't bad. Now you think about it, you're like, wow.
I look back on it fondly, yeah.
You're like, WrestleMania 3, that was a pretty good pay-per-view.
I feel that way about almost everything pre-95, where I'm like, it's okay. There are really good stuff, but it's a lot of okay. But compared to those 3 years, everything is amazing.
Those are the worst years. But now we've turned it around. Austin's coming.
Oh, we're not there yet.
We're
close, but we ain't there yet.
All right, next up, the main event. The Bloodline, all fucking five of them.
Versus Team KO.
Versus Kevin Owens and the Brawling Brutes. Kevin Owens and a bunch of British people.
Everyone else almost didn't matter. It was about Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. That's what that was built around.
A bunch of British people and Kevin Owens. Yeah.
This is the match where Kevin Owens accidentally fucking ruptured Roman Reigns' eardrum, and Roman was not happy.
Oh, that's what the altercation was about.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to earlier. It came to me what it actually was. Yeah, at some point he improvised a slap. He just slaps Roman really hard. He ends up getting him in the ear, and he ruptured his eardrum. And Roman was pretty pissed off. So much so that sometime later they had another match together, and he gave him a receipt. I don't know if it was intentional or not. I got to assume it was, but Owens had a pretty badly black eye in that match.
He's like, I'm planning this one stiff one.
There were multiple points where Roman got on top of him and threw punches, and it's possible that like he was just throwing such rapid punches that he accidentally whiffed on one, but it felt like a receipt. One of those must have just legit caught him.
Wow.
The ending, Zayn pulled the referee. Zayn low blows Owens. Haluva kicks him, catches him, and shoves him to the mat, and lets Jay do the flying ooze for the win. And they all love each other. Sammy.
He proved his worth.
Yep, Sammy Uso.
Yeah, sort of. Now they're like sowing seeds of dissension again, but. Yeah.
At that time.
At that time, everything was looking on the up and up.
Yeah.
Fucking Sami Zayn and the Uso storyline, the best storyline of professional wrestling.
And then they get sold to Saudi, and that's gone. I will say.
And now I think about it, that was a Triple H thing, wasn't it? So, like, yeah, who knows the fuck's going to happen with that if Vince is back in charge.
This is dumb. Good.
I don't get it. Why would they have the weird Canadian guy be part of the group? What's cool about that?
He doesn't like Saudis. Fuck him. Vince, you like Saudis? They got money.
Money.
I'm Vince McMahon. Yes, oh, Vince McMahon doing the Tex Richmond song.
Mr. Texas T.
Mr. Vinnie Mac.
So that was
Survivor Series.
That sounds like a good card.
It was. It was enjoyable. I wish I could remember Balor Styles.
It was
different. But then again, that just tells the story of what the match. Like, it's exactly what I expected and had nothing stick out.
When you see a good match that has absolutely no real story, good story reason for it to happen, it's just a good match. What happened in it? Good things.
I can't wait to talk about Wrestle Kingdoms.
Yes, things we have notes.
That is actually the way I feel about a lot of Wrestle Kingdom. I'm like, there's a lot of good matches. If you ask me to talk about them in any real detail, I don't know how much I'd have to say, but it was a lot of good matches.
It was good to not have two nights.
The second one's coming.
I know, but two nights back to back, like having it all be pushed into one.
Yes and no, because now the second night is like 2 weeks out from that event, and it's got like no real, it's got almost no build.
Right. But no one really cares about it. Like, it doesn't need to do good.
It's a show.
Yes, it's got the name of Wrestle Kingdom.
It's a show built around L.I.J. versus Kongo, which I don't know how many people care about that, but.
I don't.
Even that setup seemed fucking weird.
Yeah. Charlton texting in Japanese.
I got some updates.
Well, we do see that later, because they actually show, like, L.I.J. during their press conference, Kongo show up. And then this past week, Kongo was doing a signing for Noah, and L.I.J. showed up to that and got a side t-shirt. There was really no conflict there other than, like, Naito making fun of them and being like, oh, I'm such a big fan, give me an autograph.
That's amazing.
But...
That's like me watching the fucking after shit of the Muto match. Did not expect to hear that. Muto had one sentence after the match. What they said, "Oh, he's weird. He must be a fucking faggot." I was like, "Okay."
Wow.
When he's what?
Burning that bridge on his way out.
Could he not think of Flamboyant in that moment? Like.
No, I think he's just old and doesn't care.
I guess so.
Alright, what's next, boys?
Well, we got no Oofsa right now. We do have Oofsa.
This one actually might go 5 minutes.
So we're not going to talk about...
So Oofsa took a long-ass break.
Yeah, it took like a month off.
Because they couldn't do a card on the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't do a card on the 31st. And that was their break, wasn't it?
Oh, they didn't have anything with the 7th.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the 7th they were off too. They chose just to be off.
Yeah.
So the last card was the 14th.
So we're not going to cover something that's a month plus old at this point, so we're just going to talk about the next card?
Yep, very quickly. Yep.
Okay.
Next Saturday.
Next Saturday.
Which that we will talk about on the next pod.
Hopefully it's good.
It's so far away, though.
So what, the pod or the show? Did you say the show was, like, right around the corner?
Oh, hold on.
Yeah, the pod's so far away.
Pod, I mean, debatable, we don't know. Could be less than a month, but we gotta figure out what exactly we're gonna plan this. I'm gonna probably start putting the awards together this week, just to get this shit out of the way.
Alright, so, USC 283. We got to kind of recap how this happened. So, Yuri Prohaska was the UFC light heavyweight champ.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to fight Glover Teixeira at UFC 282 or 1.
Supposed to implies it did not happen.
Yeah. No.
She went down.
He went, blew out his shoulder.
Yeah.
Oh.
Very, very, very badly.
During training?
Yes, to the point that he gave up the title.
Wow, that is...
Because he didn't think he could defend it in time.
Well, it just goes down to the warrior way of stepping out of the way when he knows he can't.
He's a true warrior, and I guess the shoulder injury really was bad.
Okay.
So, from there, we have to find a new event. It's Glover Teixeira versus Magomed Ankalaev. Russian.
Yeah, I recognize this Ankalaev.
Yep. They have a fight... Crazy fight, pretty good. Ends in a draw.
One thing you did not want to happen.
The one thing nobody wanted to happen.
And then. Does that happen that often? Like, no, that's.
A title fight ending in a draw? I can only think of a couple of times. That. Like, Frankie Gray won. I mean, Frankie Maynard 2.
So.
And, like, one other.
So the judges were perfectly even split?
One guy had it as a tie.
Yeah.
One guy had it for...
For Glover. One guy and the other Uncle one had it for the other.
One guy had it for Glover.
Wow.
And then when that was happening, it was a shit show. Because obviously Uncle Ive can't speak English. So the translator's giving him stuff that we don't even know what they're talking
about. We don't know. And it supposedly Uncle Ive came on and said it was a big mistranslation.
Yeah.
Things were fucked up.
Huh.
Glover was just so... No, not Glover. Yeah, why do I keep saying right, Glover? I'm sorry, it wasn't Glover. Glover was offered Ankalaev.
Mm-hmm.
Glover turned it down.
Why?
He didn't want to fight in that quick of a time.
Okay. How quick are we telling? How much time were we talking about here? Rough guess.
Does not. A week?
Yeah, a week.
I can see why you might not want to do that. All right.
So... He said no. Jan Blachowicz said, fuck yeah. I will take that chance. Jan Blachowicz went to draw with Ankalaev. Jan Blachowicz was very sad. He felt like he lost the fight. He was very humble. He said, he came back and said, just give the belt to Ankalaev. I don't care.
Huh.
Yeah, literally... We were literally making it up on the spot. They were trying to figure out what the fuck they were doing there.
Yeah.
Like, it was so chaotic.
Was there no preparation for what happens in a title fight if it goes to a draw in that scenario?
No, not at all.
Or wouldn't you just be like, rematch down the, like, you know, 3 months from now?
That is what was supposed to, that is what we all thought would happen.
Yeah.
Ankalaev turned it down.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to go again.
No, I won that, I won that, I want the belt.
Or he just wanted to take a break or something. So he said no. Glover said, well, no, I'm confusing them again.
Jan
is going to fight Ankalaev at some point, hopefully.
Uh-huh.
We needed a fight for this. UFC, because the light heavyweight title is held up.
Yeah.
We got Glover Teixeira Remember him? Old Glover?
I mean, I now know him because you've said
Connecticut guy, 45 years old.
Yeah.
Won in a miracle against Jan Blachowicz. Lost a really close fight to... Who beat him? Jiří. Yeah. So we move from there. The new main event is Glover Teixeira versus Jamahal Hill for the light heavyweight title. Okay. Sweet dreams. He's only lost once.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Back up.
Yeah.
The title fight that just happened for the light heavyweight title that ended in a draw.
Yep.
We went on. We have another title fight for this title. And neither of those participants from the previous fight are in this.
No.
The fuck you say?
Didn't know what the fuck they were doing.
But... what?
Yeah, it's for the light heavyweight title. Oh, man. After that,
how do you justify that? Two of them... Those were the two you thought deserved it, and it ended in a tie. Even if one of them's like, no, I ain't gonna fucking do it, the other one probably would, right?
They announced to Sharon Hill a little bit after the Blachowicz-Ankalaev fight. And, like, they decided to book it.
That's so fucking
They chose.
Weird.
They were like, fuck those two.
Just moving on, I guess.
And maybe they'll fight again and then we'll have an eliminator. I don't know.
That's weird.
But they were like, we need a champion. Jamahal Hill was supposed to face Anthony Smith. That didn't happen. Well, in March.
Yeah.
So it can't happen. So Anthony Smith's the alternate. And it's Glover Teixeira versus Jamahal.
This doesn't sound like we're even now trying to find like the person who deserves it most. Just like, name me some two light heavyweights who are willing to go at it.
They got to be top. No, they got to be top.
Find me two of the top 25 who are willing to do this fight.
Top 10.
Fine, still.
Oh yeah, by the way, this is in Brazil.
Jimmy Smith is number 10. He said he'll do it. All right, Jimmy, suddenly getting a title shot.
This is the first card in Brazil since COVID.
Nice.
Could be crazy.
And it's going to be that fight. Glover,
I hope it ends with a draw, and then they got to figure this shit out again.
Glover is...
Get me two more out of the top 10.
I told Bubs I want to go to the casino.
Right.
I'm putting some money on Glover. Jamahal Hill is good, but Glover's got a chin, I hope, and he can do it. I really have.
Who's the favorite?
I don't know. Probably be Glover.
I don't know. Jamahal Hill's got a lot of like.
Yeah, but he's got. You say it's in Brazil. It's
that's the shit he's. Yeah, but he's more American than Brazilian at this point.
Yeah, but he's still Brazilian.
Yeah.
In that fight, they're still gonna back him.
That wasn't your fucking argument for the Asian Gung Pao Chow fucking Texas Hold'em fucking dude. You're like, he's Asian and he's playing Pai Chow. He probably knows the rules.
Well, I would hope so.
He's more American than he is Asian at that point.
Pai Chow.
He's more American than he is Asian at that point. Lives in America.
All right, so... But we don't know how long he's lived in America. He could have just been off the boat. Just
fresh off the boat.
Almost fresh off the boat, people who go immediately to the Mohegan Sun.
Hey, they know they can get a job there.
Yeah, they can.
Oh, hell yeah.
There's a lot
of the work there are fucking... I mean, not all, but... like
there's a predominant Asian fucking...
So, Jamahal Hill, just to give you a look, just to tell...
That's true. How the fuck are so few no Pai Chow?
Well, I feel like it's an old... Not everyone Asian knows Pai Chow poker, really.
Clearly the most don't, I guess.
It's an outdated casino game.
So, Jamahal Hill, 3 straight wins. He's a TKO machine. And his only loss was in... It was a TKO, elbows and punches, by a journeyman. By, like, a journeyman... who's a real tough out. So, at that point in his career, I can see. But that's why I think he's vulnerable. That's why I think we should put 20 on Glover.
20. I'll put 100.
Oh, God. I don't know. So, that is the main event.
Okay.
The co-main, which is another Brazilian, because it has to be. Oh my God, Paul Craig's on this card. That's funny. Is Davison Figueiredo.
I know him.
Versus Brandon Moreno.
I know him too.
You know why? Mm. This is the fourth time they fought.
How would you explain it?
They have been literally the last four title fights. I think there might be one in between.
How does that happen?
Because the division, they don't care about it, and they literally are the best.
Hearing this makes it sound like UFC don't give a shit. Like, they have bad divisions.
That's a good point. You're right. Because they're just like, anyone can win the light heavyweight. Fuck it.
And we just stripped the fucking heavyweight champion, and now we got Jones coming.
What's the co-main? I don't, Vince McMahon booking. Just book what we booked last time.
Like, what the fuck?
That's
2 years after John Jones said he was going to the heavyweight division. Finally happened.
He's coming back.
Is it the heavyweight division? No, then Dana don't care.
No, they don't.
Book the same
thing. They fucked their heavyweight division. Like,
I know, I'm treating it like Vince, though, because if it was Vince, like,
yeah,
Vince. Who's in the heavyweight title match? Or isn't one? Then I don't care. Just book the same thing you booked last time.
Brock Lesnar? Give me Brock Lesnar.
Brock wrestling? Can he cut weight? Can we get him for the light heavyweight? I don't think that's how it works, Dana. Well.
Oh, man, I
want Dana to go through a crazy old man phase.
I don't know what Francis Ngannou is going to do.
He's going to go to Bellator.
And just kill clowns?
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that what
and make most, lots of money?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, isn't that what most UFC people do?
People say he's going to make less. I'm like, no, he's not. No. Bellator is going to pay out the fucking ass.
Yeah, because he's an international
He's big money.
Superstar.
I don't know who he's going to face. Oh, Francis versus Fedor. Oh, Fedor's in time. Fuck it, we're booking it.
Yeah, it's fucking Bellator. They'll get someone out of retirement. They don't care.
Exactly.
Fedor,
you're going to work.
Literally.
You're going to work
they
out.
Always have
nah,
Fedor.
All right.
We love Fedor. Okay. Here we go.
I like this. All
right,
good
here
answer,
we go.
Good answer.
Good answer. Good answer.
Okay. The rest are the rest of the main card. You got some Gilbert Burns versus Neil Magny. He always ends up facing people.
Right.
Jessica Andrade versus Lauren Murphy. Oh God.
Andrade is still fighting, huh?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And Paul Craig, the Scottish.
I know
submission.
Him.
Paul Craig, he's great. He's a fucking. He's a tough out.
Tough out.
Oh, Shogun's on this card. Why?
Ruha? Brazilian. Ruha? Yes.
Ruha? Yeah.
Are you still fighting?
Supposedly.
So.
In the UFC?
Supposedly.
I would have thought, A, he was retired, and B, I wouldn't have thought he was in the UFC even if he wasn't. Like, Bellator?
Nope.
Sure, money, safe money's on old guy there. But
legends. That's what they do.
You made me more interested in this card. Am I going to watch Shogun fight again?
Yeah.
All right, maybe.
Come with us, Mohegan.
Come with us, Mohegan.
$20. All right. So that's the end of USA.
UFC.
USA. In more than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Ago, but it was shorter than usual.
AEW, right? Or
it
my
took
notes.
5 minutes to get over that whole light heavyweight debacle.
It sounds stupid. Like, look, the debacle is dumb because you think they would have had like an answer ready to go. But then it gets dumber because the answer they came up with makes no fucking sense. Which, like, okay, if both those fighters are like, nah, I don't have interest in going for the title again, one, they're both fucking idiots. But also, two, I'm like, there's no way they both did that. The one guy did, we know, because you said he did, but
right.
Other guy? Just have a fight.
I know. It was stupid. Alright, so.
AW, we're not going to talk about 3 months under the Dynamite.
That'd be nuts.
Though I could. Because I've watched 3 months worth of Dynamite in the past week and a half.
I mean, just, you know, bring up what you think was cool.
Highlights?
Good. Yeah.
I'll say this. I skimmed most of the Dynamite, so there was definitely stuff I skipped. And the thing I pretty consistently skipped, with a few exceptions, were the women's matches. There were a lot of women's tags that I had very little interest in.
Yeah.
A lot of Ty J.
Yeah, some Ty J.
A lot of baddie bullshit.
A lot of baddie bullshit, a lot of Ty J, and a lot of Britt Baker.
And
Hater, yeah.
And none
we're
of
just
that.
Being the number one fan of Hater right now.
You literally named the three, like, teams that they push in separate matches against other people. But, yeah, those were the majority.
Yeah.
Sheeta versus Jamie Hayter was great.
Yeah.
Jamie Hayter versus Tony Storm. That was a pay-per-view, though, wasn't it? Because we're going to talk about that, obviously. We'll do a WWE card rundown.
Did you catch up on pop culture through Max Caster's raps?
Did I get caught up on what?
Pop culture.
Pop culture.
Oh, pop culture. I mean,
he's very topical. I love it.
None of those raps none of those raps really stand out. Mostly because, like, a lot of them I heard talked about after the facts when they
The Jeff Jarrett one.
So, like, when I got to them, I'm like, this is, yeah, like, the Karen Jarrett line would have originally been a thing, but I had heard about it beforehand, mm-hmm. So when I actually heard it, I'm like,
oh, okay.
It's the Karen Jarrett line. didn't think the rap they did, the rap video they did for Team TNA is what I refer to them as. I don't know if they have an actual... was as good as the original one. It was still good, but it wasn't as good.
We'll see. I love them.
This Team TNA Acclaim stuff is some of my favorite tag division stuff they've had. But I think Team TSA is actually pretty fucking good.
That's crazy. They turned into that. They got Jared and it was working out.
TNA's combined age is also like 150. But
also, if you spread them out, they could fucking go through half the arena just with fucking what's his face on their team. What else do we got that's been pretty good? D-Rise had a series of very good matches, and he's about to have a series of other very good matches.
D-Rise because of the stint they just put in play. Every week is, who does D-Rise want to face? Who does D-Rise want to put a good match on with?
If I'm not mistaken, he had a really good one with Dax a while back. I must say a while back, like within the past 2 months, I think.
Yeah. Takeshita, the last one.
Takeshita, that was real solid. Takeshita's had a bunch of really good matches, too.
I love how MJF had to pull out to take a shit.
That,
like, really?
That made me laugh, but also I'm like, oh no, I'm lumped in with him now. Fuck.
Hey, we're past that, though. Like, we haven't done that in such a long time.
The fact that, like, we ever were looked at.
But if MJF called Doki Doki, we're screwed.
I mean, he would, though, because it's right there. Like, Doki, because Doki. You're shit.
Doki.
That's just low-hanging fruit.
Love the Doki. Doki.
Doki. It's a Doki, Kevin.
Oh, I love
fucking Gino.
Gino's was great.
If he was on commentary all the time, I would probably love that product infinitely more. Even the booking was shit. I'd at least enjoy the commentary.
Gino making shit look good.
I did not enjoy... Well, I love seeing Don Callis back, but then I heard him talk. I was like, fucking used car salesman.
I knew you wouldn't like that. I'm like, if Rob sees this, when Rob sees this, he's going to hate it too. But I'm like, I loved it. I still like Don Callis on commentary. He's funny. Sometimes he does, like, the random heel bullshit where he'll say something... That's like very much, oh, it doesn't make sense. But then he'll like even acknowledge that it doesn't make sense. And he's like, I don't care. And he'll justify it in some other stupid way. I'm like, that's funny.
He fixes it.
He fixes it. He does the thing that we all know is broken and then he fixes it in a funny way that still makes it all work.
He's in AEW too.
He is.
Oh, he's commentary.
Yeah, he was just on commentary, right?
Like I mean, for every Elite
Trios
fight.
I skipped a lot of those.
I bet you.
I'm like, seven. You're gonna watch gonna seven straight
face
matches
off seven times, and I'm watching this all in a very short span. I'm not watching the wrestle seven times.
And really, like, all that matters is the seventh.
No, the last three were gimmick matches, at least.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, those matter.
The first one just kind of told the story of Lucha Bros turning heel. Like, yeah, I don't know.
A lot of hammer. The first three was a lot of hammer work.
Yeah. And them trying to be like, we don't want to do it, but because now the Elite are good guys, they're dicks.
They were trying to add story there, and it honestly wasn't that interesting.
Yeah, it was
and like they had to spread that over, as you said, the first three or so.
Yeah, Alex Abrahantes not knowing, like, are we heel? Are we good? I'm hype man. I'm not hype man. Like, I don't know.
So that happens. That ends with, we just talked about the spoiler, I guess, it ends with the Elite getting their titles back in Game 7.
Yeah. Game 7.
At the...
Tony Khan had to buy fucking... The basketball.
The NBC
scene.
Music.
I saw so many people very enthused about that. Even people were like, I don't watch AEW, but I'm a big fucking fan of that. Like, it makes them hyped, and I'm
like... That's why Tony Khan bought it, because, like, I loved that growing up. As a kid, I wanted to buy this music forever. It's like, really?
And there were people who were like, I don't watch AEW, but I'll watch during this particular match because I give a shit about that. I'm like, okay, I don't get it, but fine, okay, whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever puts asses in seats.
I'm going to buy the Jeopardy music.
It's gonna be hard to get, I think.
Once Jeopardy gets canceled.
Yeah, once it gets canceled, there you go.
It'll never get canceled.
They'll find a host that doesn't fucking do it.
Yeah, as long as Ken Jennings keeps doing it, they ain't dying. Because he's a perfect replacement. Do it
forever.
Because he can pronounce.
Almost did it forever.
Because he can pronounce every single crazy word.
And he's relatable. He's funny. Like, and then you got Celebrity Jeopardy with Maya Bialik, and she's awkward as fuck.
Oh, that's how they did the split.
Yeah.
All right. Nice.
But I guess AEW is going to be doing a Jeopardy.
Oh, cool.
No.
That's how they got something to do with
it. Who? You know who? Oh, God. You know.
I don't think they've done it yet. They haven't taped it.
My guess is going to be RJ City.
Yeah, that makes sense. I want something funny, but they're not going to. We're like John Silver or something.
Oh, God. Meat Man.
Or Taz.
I'm trying to think. I'd like that, too.
You just make shit up.
I'm purely trying to think of, like, who was on team... Our David Arquette on...
Jungle Boy?
Jungle Boy was on there. He would be, but also, he's the guy who's like, this is the son of a celebrity you might know, and he's a good-looking young guy. You throw him on. That's why he was on that originally.
Right. I don't know, Jericho, I guess. You probably put Jericho.
Jericho would be smart. Yeah.
You give him a music category and he fucking runs a house.
He'll be entertaining. He's been around a long time, so he might have a wide knowledge base. Yeah. And on top of that, you
definitely put Jericho.
The there. Guy that, yeah, people would probably know. So, yeah, makes sense.
Not Kenny.
No. That's just bad all around.
I'm looking at video game Jeopardy.
Kenny's, like, oblivious to the world around him. He's like wrestling Hawkins.
That's not a bad
wrestling
way to put it. So what other AEW stuff is there to talk about? What else was really good?
Well, you skipped all the women's stuff. We already kind of talked about it, so...
Yeah,
it was baddie bullshit.
It's been all the same
stuff. The hater reign has been very, very good.
Yeah.
Since better than Thunder Rosa. Because that went horribly.
Low bar. Also better than Tony. And I think Tony set a pretty decent bar, but I think Hater's already been better than that.
Tony.
I would also say that Hater might already be better than Britt's runs, but at the same time, it's like it's tough because that first Britt Thunder Rosa match is still the best women's match probably in AEW, so.
But I think we need to have Ty Conti stop wrestling on Dynamite.
She was on Rampage, too.
Yeah, she just was on Rampage recently.
She's had the main event, but then again, it was the tribute to Britt Baker Hardcore.
What? That happened?
Yeah,
they just, and that was crazy. Ruby fucking got blood,
so
like,
bloody.
And Anna Jay almost died.
Yeah, the
what?
No, she didn't. The spot looked crazy. The internet went crazy about it. She landed fine. She was gently put down. She landed flat, and it was on a padded area they prepared. It's all fine. But the internet lost their shit. They're like, this shit's too dangerous. And it's like, no, that was fucking fine.
Wait a minute. Dumb just because, like, are we trying to be a B-show or not a B-show? It's like, you should always try to put some good shit on there no matter what.
People were in an uproar not about it being a B-show. They were in an uproar because women bled a bunch. And they're like, I don't want to see women.
But they do that at least once a year.
They said, well, first of all, they do that once a month. We just don't
see it. No, they don't do that once a month.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, women do bleed once a month, John, and it's fucking happening.
Okay.
I thought you were saying AEW makes them bleed once a month.
No.
Are they random hardcore matches?
God does bumps.
All right, that's just one off the rails.
That was one of the arguments that somebody they made. I don't remember which woman in the match, but one of them was like, man, wait till they find out that a woman bleeds once a month. They got an uproar because of all the blood and because the Anna Jay spot, a bunch of people said, oh, it's dangerous.
So let me get this straight. No one really got hurt. But there was a lot of blood.
Yep.
And people were pissed.
Yep. Nailed it.
Normal.
Leo Rush smashed his face and no one gave a shit.
No one saw that match or cared.
It's Wrestle Kingdom. How'd they not see it?
They just skipped that match.
But everyone saw Rampage, a show that nobody watches?
Yeah!
Hey, people were gifing that on Twitter. They were gifing Leo Rush.
I gotta say,
bullshit.
Like, that whole show was probably one of the best whole shows I've seen in a while. Dynamite and Rampage together.
I keep hearing these Rampages recently have been very good, and I have an interest in a lot of matches on there, and if I had had more time in the lead-up to this, I would have watched some of those, but I didn't.
I just wish it wasn't on a Friday, but...
Well, luckily, there's this thing called DVR Davey, and
I literally tape every week anyways.
Not every week.
You could watch it...
Pretty much every week.
If I'm not here, probably,
You could watch it 72 hours later if you really want.
I always end up taping it.
Well, that's good.
You just don't choose to watch anything after the fact.
Yeah, this is true.
What just happened?
And by yourself.
Yeah, those two things. We're going to map and pretty much eliminate it, but I'll probably end up watching some of that stuff. I want to see the Jun Akiyama match on Rampage. That's old now. Yeah, I also want to see the Muda thing from the New York show, because that's how far back it's been since I've seen Rampage.
Muda.
They put some good stuff on Rampage, but people still shit on it.
You like Takeshita, he's there all the time, is the impression I get.
Yep, definitely.
He's good.
He's good.
He's a star in the making.
What else has been good?
MJF.
I won't define this as good, but that is where I was going to go to next. I find myself wanting, he has almost go away heat with me at this point, where I'm just like, look, it's just me, I get it. I understand it's just a me thing, but I watch him, I'm like, I find him to be a despicable human being. Not the kind where I'm like, oh, I can't wait for him to get his comeuppance. I'm like, I don't like that you exist in this world. I just don't want to see you or hear you or really know you exist in general. Especially where, like, I'm sold on him. Like, people sell him as this is who he is in real life. I'm like, if this is,
but
I hate you.
There's no way.
I hate that you exist.
We've seen the other him.
I know, but like, he does such a good job of, and everyone around him does such a good job of selling that this is who he is, that it's hard for me to try to remember, like, there is a good guy there.
Yeah.
But
he turns it up.
He always goes for the low-hanging fruit.
He does, and that's the other thing that annoys me, is I'm just like, he goes for the lowest of low-hanging fruit, and then on top of that, he fucking has that, like, those sort of little words that he throws in every time where, like, he'll go back to it when he needs, like, a filler, like, bud, or what else is there? There's a few, but...
Right, yeah.
It's Phil. He just... I like the rain. The Dr. Ken shit was hilarious. And Freddie Prinze, I was just as... I mean, they're all low-hanging fruit, right, but...
It's all great. Paul Walter Hauser, I'm so glad that he showed up. He's such a fan of wrestling. Paul Walter Hauser.
Top though.
The guy on Cobra Kai, the guy with the Golden Globe.
That was a while back, right?
No, it just happened Friday.
Oh, okay.
Well, this past Wednesday and Friday.
It also happened a while back. That's why I was like, man, that feels like ages ago. That's where did you bring that up now? What?
No, like it just happened. He just got smashed in the head with a guitar by Jeff Jarrett.
That's interesting. I would have expected him to work with Britt again, but...
Right. Nope.
Oh, he's just a fan of that show, then.
Well, he's loved wrestling forever.
Ah, okay.
He puts AEW in everything he does.
Oh.
Like, he's saying Judas on Cobra Kai.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. He loves fucking wrestling.
Good for him.
Right?
Good for AEW, too, to get a sort of quasi-semi cameo.
It was good to see. I mean, yeah, there were, like, B-list celebrities, but there were still celebrities there.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't count Freddie Prinze Jr. since he has worked
in professional wrestling
and owned the professional wrestling organization.
But Ken Jeong, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
That was random.
The Asian, naked Asian man from Hangover.
Right. The guy who got his Hollywood stars being a doctor because he was really a doctor.
Yeah, the MJF reign has been fine. I agree with you.
I'm tired of his routine.
That's it.
I'm done with the shit of, I'm going to make you do all these stipulations every time we have the match, and I probably lose.
And, like, yeah, I'm just sick of him.
That's all. If he can change that up, because I'm fine with him doing the promos every week. That's cool.
You know what? That's, I guess, truly the thing, because, like, when he was looking like he was, when he was jumping between what I would call face and heel, when he was doing the promos that you could interpret either way back with Regal, I liked that stuff.
Right.
But it's when he just goes back to the same shtick of just, I'm a shit person. And I'm just like, I don't want to watch that.
Right.
I don't have an interest in that. Especially because, like, this goes one of two ways. Either A, you lose, and I'm still going to have to see you week in or week out. Or you win, and I have to watch your smug ass say this dumb shit again the following week. I'm like, none of these things make me happy.
Right.
So, yeah.
Honestly, I feel like there's a good chance Danielson's going to win.
I mean, I sold you on that. I told you, like, after that first promo, he would not shut up about two things. One, mentioning Danielson, and two, I'm going to have the longest reign ever. I'm like, Danielson's going to be the fucking one to do it, and it's going to be an Iron Man,
it's going to be Danielson's match, like...
I'm less convinced of that now than I was when I said it then, but we'll see.
But you really think MJF's gonna pull that off in Iron Man?
He's just such a shitbag that I can see him winning by some dumb bullshit.
And like, so, he can be dominated 59 minutes and then
and he'll pull something
dumb off and
they'll
last
have him do something that's perfectly shitty like him and he'll win. Or simply make it so Danielson doesn't.
Right.
And so, yeah.
And then that match will be for nothing and it'll be so mad.
And it might have been a waste of an hour of all our time.
Even though we'd watch it anyways, no matter what match they put on.
Yeah, it'll be a good match. I got nothing negative to say about the guy in the ring. Because I'm like, yeah, he is a great wrestler.
I know, he's been putting the work in, like, to get himself physically good, but that ain't gonna make you a good superstar.
Again, he's a good wrestler, though. He's a good wrestler. He's in good shape.
Yeah, but is he wrestling? Like, is he...
No, but he never did. He didn't have to. Because he wrestles like once every 3 months and he puts on a great match and that's all he needs to do. He doesn't need to wrestle recently.
Nope. Same. Oh, Adam Cole's back.
Adam Cole, baby.
He just came back.
Yeah.
Speaking of guys whose shticks I was tired of his shtick when he left. He's back now. I'm a little less tired now. Maybe I'll enjoy it this time around.
Now he's a face, though.
Yeah, now he's a face, kind of, sort of.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was still this one guy being like, "You suck! You shouldn't be here!"
Yeah, I was both enjoying that guy and being like, "Someone should shut him up." Because I understand I was enjoying him, like, most people probably aren't.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Adam Cole came out, I was like, "Dude, you know, he's got this stereotypical, it's story time with Adam Cole, baby." And I'm like, "Yeah, tired shtick with Adam Cole, baby."
And then we had the Wardlow Joe sagas.
I had almost no interest in that. I didn't watch that stuff because I knew how it ended and I knew what came next.
War Joe breaking up.
Yeah, I knew War Joe broke up and I knew it led to Joe cutting Wardlow's hair, which I was just like, okay, they sold that as a big deal, but I'm like, the dude barely had any hair. Yeah. He cut the pony.
He had the little pony.
Little difference.
Like, that'll take you, what, 2 months maybe?
Yeah, if that. Like, I was like, yeah, whatever.
Right.
And then I knew what eventually is to come, which is the Darby Allin Joe saga continuing. And that was great. And Darby winning the TNT title back. So knowing that was coming up, I was like, this doesn't even matter.
It didn't. Which it sucks. Like, that's what one thing that I don't like about AEW. Like, they can have the highest moment and then just come tumbling down so quickly after that. It's got to be because of, like, just the booking. Like,
you mean, like, Wardlow being the most over motherfucker ever.
And you just do that.
Nothing happens with him, and he stays barely at the level he was at, and then it's just all downhill and a quick drop.
Like, you give Joe the TNT title when he already had the fucking ROH other titles. Like, you don't need him to have both those fucking titles.
And it felt like we were barely seeing him before that point.
He was doing the Twisted Metal shit.
And then it didn't feel like we were seeing him that much really even after. Like, a little bit. We saw him more week to week, but didn't feel like he was doing a lot.
Like, that was a waste.
Yeah. But what are you gonna do? Right. Joe is old and injury prone, and...
Right.
As a transitional champion, he isn't bad. Like, honestly, I don't think he's a bad transitional champion between Wardlow and back to Darby. But also, like, could have did more with Wardlow.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm bitter with. Do more with Wardlow.
So here's the thing. I was getting bitter on all this stuff, like, right before my mother passing away and me, like, I was starting to, like, get annoyed having to watch this shit all the time. Then I got that break, and then when I came back, suddenly a bunch of fresh faces were on my television screen, and they were getting pushed. And, like, Ricky Starks, like... TK proved me wrong, because Ricky Starks, I was like, he's going to get a title shot, like he was, he did against MJF, he's going to lose, and then we're not going to see him again, because that was the pattern. He's been used every single week. Is he wrestling every week? No, but he's on TV every week. He got paired with Action Andrade and Andretti.
Yeah, that guy.
And, like, that Jericho, Jobber getting a win over Jericho was great. And then pairing him with Ricky Starks, they look really good together, and they seem really good together on the mic. Great. That's another good thing happening. It's new and different and freshens it up a little.
And Jake Hager still likes this hat.
And Jake Hager likes this hat. And
for
now,
months upon months.
And I think the hat's being sold now and actually says, I like this hat.
Great.
They brought bucket hats back into fashion.
All because it was given to fucking Garcia and he didn't like it. And Hager just like, I like this hat.
Oh,
yes.
What else has been good? What's been good recently other than that? The Acclaimed stuff has all been good. Like, that's one of those things where, like, I was worried.
They're the tag team.
I was worried that they were going to win those titles and then we'd see them sparingly, but we see them every week. They're given promo segments more often than they are matches, and they're able to get over every week, and the fans still love it, right. And it's great.
Which I think, like, recently is a lot because of Team TNA. Like, if they just kept facing the Gun Club, you ain't gonna have much.
Though, to the Gun Club's credit, this feud with FTR, which I was trying to think what the FTR match is that's coming up. I think they have a big match with the Gun Club coming up.
Yeah.
The FTR Gun Club. Gun Club, this past week, they did the funeral of FTR. That was good. They were good on the mic there. Right. Like, they're showing improvement, which is great.
They have actual personalities now.
Yes.
Not, hey, we're daddy's boys.
Yeah, they don't seem like generic, oh, they're just Billy Gunn's kids. Like, right. Now they actually feel like their own people, which is good. What else? Yeah, you're right about the Team TNA thing. The Team TNA thing has been... Yeah. They've been good foils for the Acclaim.
They're great to hate on, you know? They're solid enough, even though they're old.
Yeah, but see, the thing is like, you're right that they're both... Well, let me say that. David's not that old.
Yeah, right.
He's just been doing it a long time and was very young when he started, but he's not that old, really.
He makes it seem like he's fucking old.
Jared is old. But Jared is also in, like, phenomenal shape and still does great for his age.
Right.
Both those guys, the thing that's great about them and putting them against Acclaim is the Acclaim is good, and they're pretty good at, like, getting over on the mic, but, like, Lethal and Double J have the experience to know exactly how to play up the heelness to make the fans want to boo them and cheer the Acclaim. So it's like they're helping put extra heat on themselves and get extra push for...
Definitely, which... The Acclaim, I mean, I don't know if they need it, but it definitely helps.
It helps more than putting them against, like, an FTR, which wouldn't do anything for anybody.
No. We like both of them. What are you going
to
do?
You can put the Acclaim against a team where they're going to have good matches, but it's better to put them against a team where they're going to have pretty solid matches that will also help push them in the story itself. Like, right. There'll actually be a narrative there. It's easy to get behind them versus...
Because it's been, like, at least 3 months where they've been on top.
Also, Sanjay's rap was good. I don't give a shit what that commentary team said. I enjoyed Sanjay's rap.
Sanjay is just, like, the king of corny. Like, he's so fucking corny.
Yes, he is.
Even, like, fucking Aubrey breaking his pencil, and he was just with the ref shirt on. He was just like, what?
I love it.
No!
I love his reactions. I love it.
It's great. A guy that, like, literally 5 months ago said he would never want to be on screen.
This stuff made me nostalgic for TNA, because I was like, these were all people who were still part of TNA back when I was watching. So, and yeah, TNA nostalgia exists. For anyone who might think that's not a thing, it is.
Hey, Dan loves North Farnham.
There you go.
Dude, North Farnham.
His nostalgia goes back less than 10 years. Mine's 15 years ago. But...
I also love when X-Pac won the title.
When was that?
When he just randomly climbed up the ladder and grabbed it.
Like, anyone can technically win, I guess.
That was back in, like, the weekly pay-per-view days.
Yeah.
Weekly pay-per-view.
Is there anything else? Is there anything in AEW we haven't talked about you think is worth talking about?
I don't know if there's really anything else.
It's too bad Darby's reign is too new. I'd like to talk more about that, but there's really nothing to talk about.
OC's run as Atlantic champion.
That has been
great. And all those random challenges.
We now have two people that basically do open challenges.
OC's way of doing it is fantastic, though.
His is better.
It's funny. Like, this past week, we're fucking, who was it? A British guy. Kip Sabian is just like, I deserve a title shot because of this, and this happening in the Rumble. And Trent's like, well, I technically eliminated this person first before you or something. He's like, oh, so he's like, good point. Trent gets a title shot.
Alright. Everyone questions why is
that? I loved Kip getting angry too for a second. I mean, like, you know what? I want to see that. Never mind. It's just like, this is the weirdest, funniest way to make a title shot, but I love it. It took me a second to remember what title he even has. I'm like, what title does OC even have? I'm like, the Mid-Atlantic, right? I think.
The Mid-Atlantic. All Atlantic?
Transatlantic.
Trans?
I think it's the All Atlantic. Yeah. I think it's trans.
I'm just throwing words out there.
Trans.
The title that doesn't fucking matter. I only remembered that title because I was thinking to myself, whatever happened to that title where we were getting, like, random matches from overseas?
Yeah, we had PAX doing random shit overseas.
The thing that made me interested in Dark, and that stopped. And I was like, oh yeah, it's because OC just has it in his backpack now.
Yeah, and, like, Kip ain't really doing shit. Like, He's trying to grow a group.
He's talking.
He had Tread 7.
Talking in like nursery rhymes, like Alice in Wonderland now, I guess.
There's one guy we don't need to sign is Tread 7.
But he's here. Kind of. He's on a per appearance basis.
I can also say like the same for Juice, but I like Juice, so I'm not going to complain about that.
I mean, the Juice thing is like.
Rock Hard Club.
We already have a Rock Hard in AEW. We didn't need a second one, but Rock Hard Club would be funny. I wish he had stayed in New Japan, but...
It is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's dating Tony Storm. It seemed like this would happen at some point.
Alright, anything else about A-dubs?
I gotta watch that hardcore match. Because I hear it's good. Also, Ruby is very bloody.
Very early on.
Very bloody. Like, when we were saying that people were bitching about the Blood Davy, it's worse than any of the previous matches I can think of.
Oh, wow.
They were comparing it to, what was that?
Don't say Foley.
No.
Oh.
It wasn't. Why can't I think of it?
I remember seeing them comparing it to something, but I remember.
Right, but then it just blanks on me. Because I was going to say Rock, but then it would just go to Rock Foley. Like.
I remember it getting compared to some match where somebody bladed and they hit a fucking artery. They found out after that they hit like an artery. But I don't remember. I don't remember the
rules. It's right on the tip of my tongue and I can't think of it.
Yeah, I gotta watch that at some point.
Was it Triple H?
Alright.
Yeah, that's probably it. Oh, Hook. Jungle Hook. Hook Jungle Boy.
What they're doing with fucking Hook. The same old shit.
Yeah, except for, like, it's the same old shit after, like, seemingly not seeing him for 8 months. Or I don't even know. It felt like a long time.
Because you don't watch Rampage.
I don't watch Rampage.
So me Suplex and Big Bill, that was pretty good. That was nice great. Suplex.
I actually like this feud. Like, I hate their team name. And I don't... And there's no justification for why they're really teaming other than they're against these other people. But that's sort of almost enough.
It's just Hook coming out... being good to the little guy. I'm a little guy, you're a little guy. Let's be little guys.
We're both good, young, little guys. Good-looking, young, little guys.
Yeah.
Let's hang out together.
And Hook don't speak, so there doesn't have to be any reason anyway.
I don't know if I want Jungle Boy to be a mouthpiece for anybody, but...
Hey, he knows how to swear now.
Alright. I think we should end AEW literally on that.
Yeah, you know what? Sure.
Because for the first 25 years of Jungle Boy's life, he did not know how to swear.
I mean, in fairness, that is the most recent character trait of him. He now knows how to curse. He's not wrong.
Right? That's what he can do.
All right.
You know, that helps my theory that Archie's his real brother.
Yes, it does.
Do they swear? No. They don't swear in
it's CW.
Riverdale.
It's CW.
Oh, they do?
Oh, it's CW. Oh. Teenagers, like, you might get old. There's very little cursing of any.
Well, South Park says shit.
But damn, that's Comedy Central, and that's extremely mature.
There's no swearing in Riverdale. All right. Wrestle Kingdom.
Right? New Japan, Wrestle Kingdom. The card we're doing a big rundown for today.
The return of Wrestle Kingdom in New Japan for
this
us.
This is why no matter what we decided to do with this podcast, this episode was happening. It's our biggest episode. We do it.
All right. Wrestle Kingdom 17. Yo-Leo versus TJP and Francesco Akira.
Yo-Leo.
Is that the name of a person?
No, that's Leo Rush and...
Oh.
Yo-Leo.
Yo-Leo.
He's injured again, so he's going to probably be out for a stretch.
He injures himself all the fucking
time.
Yeah,
he does. You think he'd learn his body is telling him very much... as hard as it can. You aren't cut out for this. Stop. Like,
Yo dives on TJP and Francesco, and we start. Leo breaks his face, and no one helps him. Great move by Catch 2-2. Akira just sat on Yo's head from TJP's shoulder. Bootwash by TJP. Leo is bleeding like nuts. In any other promotion, he would have been taken away, or there'd be a doctor or something. Leo double suicide dives. I think he has a concussion. Twisting unprettier for two for Leo. All four men are down. Powerbomb suplex into a splash from Leo. for two. Destination Kick by TJP, Poison Rana on TJP, Spanish Fly in the 3K for two, Rush Hour Cutter but Akira Powders, TJP Inside Cradle for three.
Yay, that's one of the matches I didn't really care about on that card.
I mean, it was alright, but...
Yeah, it's fine.
Team Emo.
Leo Rush was definitely affected.
I don't care about TJP, and Leo Rush got injured, like, halfway in, so I'm like, great.
And you could tell, like, it was fucking with him.
Yeah.
If that maybe he should have been taken out of that match.
Yeah, maybe.
Alright. Next up, the Let's Piss Off Nick match. Tam Nakano versus Kairi Sane.
No, I thought this was
actually... Because they only got 5 minutes.
And they get six, I thought.
Six, 540. Like.
I'll say this. I wish they had been given longer, but they did a lot with that little bit they were given. I like
that. Oh, they went nuts. It
could have been better.
I thought they cut out all the chuff, and they just did everything they would normally do to get the crowd high, hot for it. And I was like, great.
They lock up, rope break, then Kairi pulled a douche move. This match is a great start for a 30-minute start the match. But it's not... But I like the start, but then they just like pfft. Nice forearm by Kairi from the top rope. German bridge by Tam for two. Double slap, violent screwdriver by Tam for two. Cutlass back fist by Kairi for two. Another back fist for Kairi. Insane elbow for three.
But that was really good for what they, you know, the bit of time they had. I also thought the entrances, well, Tam's was just kind of whatever. I liked Kairi's entrance quite a bit, though.
I mean, but it's the same entrance she's always had.
Yeah, but I thought they made it look more cinematic in New Japan than they have in other, well, non-WWE promotions. WWE made everything more cinematic.
I mean, I just like Tam's because of Charlton going, she's the cutest of the cosmos.
Yeah, that was cool. I was very confused by the Grim Reaper dudes, but...
Yeah, right, that doesn't fit pirate.
Yeah.
Like, you're a pirate, what the fuck?
It made me pause for them, like, it's like, is she the one that's married to Evil? I'm trying to figure out the connection here.
If that's true, that's a really weird combination.
Yeah, that's why I was
Kairi
like...
Kairi and Evil. I know...
Because I know Evil's married to some Joshi, but I couldn't think of who. And right. I'm like, was it Kairi? This would be a weird tribute to him.
Alright.
After the match, did you take notes after the match, or do we have to just talk about it normally?
I didn't take notes.
Alright, you usually don't. So after the match, God, what's her new name?
Mercedes Moné.
Thank you. I was like, Sasha Banks? I don't want to just call her Sasha Banks. Mercedes Moné came out. She challenges Kairi. She hits her moves, kind of, sort of. They fuck it up. Kairi fucks it up. Whatever. Moné looks terrible. Anyways, moving on.
Right. But apparently she draws.
From what I can tell, though, the terrible-looking hair, at the very least, which is half the problem, was a wig. So she might not wear it again.
Okay.
Because I saw pictures of her from, like, a handful of days later, and she just had her natural long hair, and it wasn't dyed, so I'm guessing that was just some kind of...
Wig. That's cool.
Now, her song still sounds stupid, but whatever. I mean,
we're okay with having that. We have fucking Roppongi 3K all the time.
It deserves our worst.
Worse than Rocky.
Money.
Alright, next match. Bishamon versus FTR. Yoshi and Cass start off, slow start, shoulder tackle by Yoshi. Go to Dax, forearm battle. Nice brainbuster by Dax, suicide dive by Cash. Power and glory move for two. Power bomb into a dragon, into a pin for Dax for two. Yoshi Garoshi to Dax. Headhunter by Yoshi into a blocked Shoto into big rake for two. Yoshi and Cash suplex themselves out of the ring. Vertical suplex by Goto. Pile driver for two by Dax. Spike pile driver by FDR for two. Shoto by Bishamon for three.
No matter how much they try to sell me that Yoshihashi matters, I'm sorry, he does not.
Yes, he does.
You will never believe it.
I will believe it to the end of time.
He doesn't look... he legit looks like he barely is cognizant that he's there. Like, he looks confused and dead-eyed most of the time. I don't...
Alright. I love him. Hey. Okay.
Nice. Is that just to show you, like, you're wrong?
Wrong.
Brandon Rita versus ZSJ for the World TV Tournament. Slow start, predictable for this match. Grappling and test of strength with Ren getting the upper hand. Joint manipulation by ZSJ. Nice half and half suplex by Little Shibata. Narita getting a nasty. Nitrate PK kicks to the back. So many kicks and boots. Insiguri by Ren. ZSJ violently working Ren's arm. Crazy pin sequence. Great match. They exchange Germans and a PK and another wacky pin. ZSJ taps Narita with the arm with the octopus.
Octopus.
Alright, next match. Tama Tonga versus Carl Anderson. Anderson cheap shots Tama with the belt. Matches taking up the rampway and Tama gets slammed on the grate. Gun stun reverse. Anderson hurts his ass. Big boot on the apron to Tama. Match back in the ring. Tama control. Anderson hits a ZKO for two. Top rope neckbreaker by Anderson. SRC, which is a rolling Death Valley driver, but Tama is too tired. Crossbody by Tama. Supreme flow by Tama. Gun stun is caught. Quick exchanges. Tama is down, but then hits a second rope gun stun into a missed gun stun for three.
Yeah, they fucked up the finish.
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah. Not that that match was much of a banger without the finish being fucked up, but I mean, it just took away from it even more.
Would have just been a little bit better if you could have executed.
Yeah.
All right. L.I.J., Bushi, Naito, and Sanada versus Shota Umino, Tanahashi, and the Great Muta.
Three generations of three musketeers.
Sanada and Muto starts. Sanada in control, and it's a Muta sell on Muto. Shining Wizard. Kind of.
We got a bunch of those in this match.
Yeah, right, that's all you can do. Tana slaps. Tana stops a Muto moonsault. That was funny.
I wanted to see it.
Oh, we all did.
Yeah, Tom was like, no, you can't. Not at your age. Get down, old man.
And then Tana tags in. Multiple basement dropkicks to Tana. Bushi gets a 2 on Tana. In comes Naito. Combination Cabron to Tana. Awkward angle dragon screw by Tana. Shota comes in and owns the house. Team face with three subs all at once. Neckbreaker strike combo by Naito. Then Bushi comes in. And hits a dropkick. Sanada has two dropkicks, but gets twist and shouted. Shining Wizard and a Death Rider by Shota for three.
I really like this match.
Oh, that was great.
It was really like a fluff piece for Shota. Like
pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a thing though. Like, it is his sort of real showing out moment. Right. Also, pairing him with guys like Muta and Tanahashi are very clearly supposed to indicate this is the next big guy.
But, like, Tana kind of seemed, like, unhappy at the end. Like, I don't know, maybe sad that he's kind of passing the torch. Like, well, I know he's not done yet, but...
But he basically is.
Yeah.
Because, like, that is truly, like, a almost passing the torch moment. True passing the torch moment will probably be they'll face off somewhere down the line.
You know, like, Muta was, like, congratulating him, and then it was kind of, like, Tana's turn, and he kind of just walked away. Being like really bitter about it.
Well, I mean, Muda's retiring and Tana's still got a few years left in him, but his best years are well behind him at this point.
And Muda hates gay people.
That's he does.
Something we just learned.
One of the things that made me laugh was when he stopped Muda, not just because he was stopping Muda, but I'm like, aren't you only like 10 years apart or something like that? Like 10, 15,
and
like,
you go up.
You're not exactly a young spring in yourself and your first thing was let you jump off the top rope. Like, come on.
Right.
Next match?
Yep. Master Wato versus Hiromu.
This was a good match.
This was fine.
Versus El Desperado.
This was number 3 on my list.
This was, yeah, but unfortunately it was the outcome that, like, everyone and their mother could predict.
Well, yeah. You're not giving Wato the title.
It's similar to sort of my problem with the main, which is like, yeah, we know how this is gonna go.
Yeah.
But right. A little different in the sense of, like, the main, I understand why you would switch it. Here, you could have went with any of those four and it would have been fine. It doesn't matter. Nothing hinges on that junior's title.
Alright. Oh, very quick start. Oh, and Taiji Ishimori. Very quick start and shit hits the fan. Ishimori and Wado go for roll-ups and more roll-ups. Wado double bulldog. Ishimori just fucking off and takes everyone out. 20 count starts and ends when all three men get in at 19. Sliding German by Ishimori. Dueling submissions, stretch muffler and triangle choke. Hurricanrana by Wado. Despy takes on Taiji. But Wado takes out Despy. Hiromu takes out all four. Spot fest and Taiji gets the upper hand. No pinche loco because of Wado. Nice right hand. All men are down for 19 seconds. Wado gives up a win and gets to the top rope, but fucks it up. Despy saves a three after Tower of Doom spot. Two straight deadly rights. Pinche Loco hit once in the time bomb for Hiromu. Ishimori pulls the wrap, saves him the title. Wado hits his finisher for two. Wado drops Hiromu on his head for two. Time bomb two for three.
A good match, but I mean, again,
I thought it was fun.
And I like Hiromu, but like that's, I'm just bored by him being champion.
But you'd rather Wado?
Yeah, because I have no idea what that would be like.
You'd rather Taiji Ishimori?
No.
No.
That's good.
He's the one that would have been a worse choice for me.
Is that Wrestle Kingdom?
Yeah.
Osprey versus Omega. Fast start, Hurricanrana and a plancha. Osprey flies into the barricade. Kenny in control. Nice backbreaker by Kenny. Weird occurrence into a sub. Running boot by Kenny. Forearm off the ropes for two by Osprey. Enziguri by Osprey. Kenny powders. They fight on the apron and do a Miscaz cutter. Kenny, Japanese table spot, and it hit. Which is, you know, him.
Feet.
It's him.
Which is signature.
No one else does it.
Suplex to the... He doesn't know how to use a table. Suplex to the back of the table. Oh my God, that looked painful. Sky Twister and Kenny's head lands on the back table back. That looked painful too. Top rope hit and blade for two. V-trick poison rana into the neck breaker. Top rope dragon, but Osprey flips out into Robinson special. Into Oz cutter. Running boot into Cheeky Nando's. Omega hits crazy DDT and Osprey blades. Great sig. Omega hits from ring to floor. Oh, that the flying thing. Red Shoes puts off Omega? What? Red Shoes something off Omega. Pushes off Omega. Dragon to Osprey, double and hook pile driver for two. Kenny is in total control. Omega drops Osprey. Jaw first into the corner, then a V trigger. One winger. Into a release German for over the top. Osprey stops a V-trigger. Amazing sequence. Into an Osprey powerbomb. Two hidden blades. Super Oz cutter for two. Styles clash by Osprey. Hidden blade. No pad to the face for two. Stormbreaker reverse into a V-trigger. Into nine strong step. Nine hidden blade. What? Nine hidden blades, both men down, probably.
It's a lot of hidden blades.
Right? Strong style spot, brutal. Straight jacket, germ for two by Omega. Kamigoye and a one-winged angel for three. Amazing match.
Yeah, great match. Worth noting, Kenny comes out to one-winged angel from Final Fantasy VII, complete with, like, Sephiroth. Devil wing thing on the entryway. Osprey has a pretty epic entrance too, where he comes out to the original version of Elevation. Elevated, I should say.
Elevated.
And it's worth saying the Cheeky Nando spot you pointed out in the match. Cheeky Nando's him three times. The first two were safe. The third one, he fucking got Kenny real hard in the eye. And that's why the eye was still black and blue this week.
Makes sense.
Fucking Osprey bladed himself.
Yes. And not just like as obvious as it could be, because they had, that was the moment where they had all of the United Empire blocking. Yeah.
And then you pull off and you just see this pile of blood in one spot. You're like, well, you can tell.
But in fairness, the Osprey is a dude who doesn't bleed.
Right.
Ever. He does never and call for it.
You can also
it,
see
so.
That he stops bleeding.
Yeah.
Like, that's just his body. Yeah. He's one of those that doesn't just keep going.
He did gush for a while there. Yeah. But yeah, by the end, it was clotted. The way he should. It'd be unhealthy if he didn't.
He ain't no Cody. No.
Who is?
Okay, the main event.
Spoilers, not as good as that last match.
You couldn't, like, couldn't make that the main, but it should have.
The way I put it to Davey, it's like, if this main had gone a different route as far as winner goes, you could have probably swapped them. But having the person win who wins, no fucking way that that's not the main.
That's just New Japan. That's
yes.
It. That is.
So. JY versus Kazuchika Okada.
Jay White is champ going in.
Too long goes to start. Gut stomps by Okada. DDT by Jay White. Too sweet chop. Flapjack by Okada. Oh no, not Gato. Gato goes down. Man, it's kind of boring. Fisherman suplex by Jay. Okada no sells a chop 3 times. Okada dropkick. Money clip by Okada. Twisting Tombstone into a Rainmaker into the money clip again. Okada flipping Senton to the outside. Okada gets out smarted by Jay White. Jay White suplex to the outside. Half-half suplex variant. Blade Runner for 2 out of nowhere. Rainmaker by White. They go back and forth. Reversals trade. Close to finishers, back and forth, back and forth. Blade Runner by Okada finally ends with a Rainmaker for 3.
It's a fine match. It's what I expected from them, and Okada won. Which also was expected.
All right. Is he a golden boy?
Yes. He's their Cena. And he's going to keep being their Cena until Shota Umino dethrones him.
And that's all the news that's worth to be news.
All the news that fit to print, or in this case, fit to talk
about. And I'm your host, Dave Brockman.
Hello, Dave Brockman.
Nixie.
I'm me.
Okay. I'm me. Thank you, everyone.
Catch you next time with the award show.
Oh, it'd be great. The award.